about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Captain, normal Starfleet channel has nothing on it but static. I'm getting something on another frequency, but it's not Starfleet.
Put it on audio.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Now on with the countdown. Because it's a sausage party, sausage party. We're having a sausage party.
The numbers get smaller, the hits get bigger. The countdown doesn't stop till we hit the top.
Now, that's positive thinking.
Well, I have a letter here from a listener in California who writes, Dear Casey, got details coming up. Well, are you ready for the big one?
Hey!
And now,
I'm in love with seahorses. I'm in love with them. They're so beautiful and cute. I'm in love with the seahorses. They're unreal. I love them. I love them. Seahorses. Forever.
Our feature presentation.
That should be the motto of the Kevin and Bean Show right there. Seahorses forever.
I don't think we could do better than that.
Hey, party people. Welcome on into yet another all-new Kevin and Bean Show, this time for a Thursday morning. It's the 27th of June, getting dangerously close to the 4th of July holiday weekend. Yeah. Very excited. That'll be right here before you know it. So now is it 100, Lisa?
Yes, now it's 100. Yesterday I was like, oh, it's kind of high.
Yesterday we were like, I don't know, Bean, it's pretty frosty out there. It might be 40, 45.
But now it looks today, like 100. It's going to be 100.
You have to check in on your friends in Palm Springs today. I hear they are expecting 121 in Palm Springs.
I had not heard that. So, oh, my God.
Yeah. These are end times, you guys.
Yeah.
This is crazy. All right, we've got a lot of program for you today. I hope everybody's able to stay cool. I'm sure the people who live at the beaches, by the way, just laugh when they see, 110 in Newhall or something like that. I'm sure they just mock us.
I'm sure.
Here's an interesting story about a woman who was just arrested for bank robbery. She is a 53-year-old woman. Her name is Deanne Sanders. She is in Martin, Michigan. And she was arrested for trying to rob rob the Bank of America there. What do you think you get when you rob a bank these days, Lisa? Because I often am surprised when people choose banks, because unless you've got a great plan and an inside source to help you, it seems like that's a crime that the penalties are worth way more than what you're likely to get.
Yes, because you can only get what's in the drawers. You can't get into the vault. That's where the real cash is. So you probably never get off with more than, I don't know, $20,000 at the most?
Well, that would be a good day, because she got away with $1,092.
What? Did they only have one drawer?
I don't know. There are just so many things that are stacked against you when you go to rob a bank. A, you know there's surveillance video. You know there's cameras everywhere. B, you know that the tellers have lots of ways to contact the police. They've got a button they can step on or something like that. They've got a knob they can flip. There's always some way that they can send an alarm that they're being robbed. C, you know that you're likely to get money that's going to have some sort of dye in it that's going to explode in 10 minutes. I mean, there are just so many things stacked against you. Now, let me go back to the surveillance cameras for just a second. The reason this woman is in the news is because she was spotted on television, and it was phoned in her identity, and she was then arrested when she was turned in by her own son.
Oh, really? Now, he doesn't like mom very much?
I don't know if it's that or not. They don't interview him for this article, but he saw the surveillance video camera and said, well, that's my mom. And he picked up the phone and called the police and they came and arrested her. They're living together. I mean, the mom, it didn't say how old the son is. She's 53, so I would assume he's probably 20, right?
Yeah.
I would imagine 20 or more, still living at home, turned in his mom. Now, we did that phone topic last year, didn't we, of whether you would turn somebody in, or whether you've had the occasion to think about whether you should turn somebody in if they commit a crime.
And unless you despised that person, for the most part, people wouldn't turn them in. That's what we discovered.
I think so. And a bank robbery, I mean, this is, look, I'm not saying I think he did the right thing.
She was going to get caught.
I can understand how people wouldn't turn somebody in on a bank robbery more than I can. They wouldn't turn somebody in if they, hit a kid with a car or something like truly heinous.
Yeah.
I can understand how you could look the other way for this, but it still is going to make Thanksgiving, whenever she gets out of prison, awfully frosty, right?
That's very
Couldn't you think?
I wonder if he's got designs like, now the house is mine. And
yeah. See, I want, as usual, I want so much more information for the story. I want to hear from this dude, like, yes, what the thinking process was. The other thing, by the way, she may not be the brightest woman in the world, is the surveillance photos showed that she was wearing a bright red T-shirt with a large American flag on the front. So even if she had done, and she didn't wear a mask or a hat, even if she had and you weren't able to see her face, it's very likely that somebody would know this woman based on that crazy outfit, right?
Yes, yes. She's not a good robber.
She seems like she just made nothing but terrible choices.
She's just amateur.
In an interview, she said that she was stressed out about problems with her husband causing her to have a crack cocaine addiction-related urge. Now, does that mean she wanted drugs, didn't have any, and needed fast cash? Is that what that means?
That's what that sounds like to me.
So, yeah. Anyway, so she's in jail. So, good times right there.
I hope he gets a reward.
That's a great point. I wonder, you know, and I also wonder, this is the last thing I'll say, then we'll move on. I also wonder if, because you see all the time when a crime happens, like with the Christopher Dorner thing earlier in the year, you know, when there was the massive Southern California manhunt. Mm-hmm. If you call up the minute they put that word out that they're looking for this dude, there's not a reward yet. If you wait a couple days, usually that's about how long it takes for them to get some money together.
That's true. And the thing is, if you call right away, though, you've saved them so much money.
True.
Think about that, just in manpower.
Yeah, that's true, too. That's true, too. But I often wonder, like, with this bank thing, I mean, you know, they probably would have offered a reward if she hadn't been caught immediately. So maybe you do sit on it.
You know, the reason he probably turned her in is was she was hitting him up for drug money all the time.
Could be, yes.
And he was just over it.
All right, well, good times. Let's move on. Let's talk about today's all-new Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
You never loved anyone but yourself and your stupid penis!
Well, I don't know about that.
I think that's fair.
Okay, maybe you're right. Remember yesterday when we tried real, real hard to give away those tickets to see the Lone Ranger screening?
And people were so awful. They weren't even listening to the clips.
People were not trying, I think.
They were guessing the most obscure movies.
We're talking about a game we played called Depp Perception. We're going to try it again at the 6 o'clock hour. We're going to give you a chance, if you are a Johnny Depp fan, we're going to give you a chance to win your way in and see this new Lone Ranger film before it opens everywhere in theaters on July the 3rd. So that's coming up. Also, we've got some awesome audio to play for you of a woman who was just, and I'm sure the passengers applauded when she finally left the plane, but she was one of these gals who won't get off her cell phone when the plane is trying to take off.
Ugh, so annoying.
We've all been on planes and we've seen this happen. The flight attendant comes by and says, sir or ma'am, you're going to have to put your phone away. And he just keeps on talking.
Just a minute. Out in the office.
Well, they turned this plane around like your parents always said they were going to.
Really?
And police came on board and arrested her. So wait till you hear the tantrum that she threw. It's fantastic. We've got that audio for you coming up. We're going to introduce you to something called the edible anus. I know Lisa is very excited. We'll find out if we all are once we talk to our friend Magnus about that.
Okay. Apparently
this is a sphincter in the shape of a chocolate, as I understand, which just doesn't sound like the most appetizing thing in the world to me.
It depends on what you're in the mood for.
I guess so. Two very funny men on the program today. Bobby Slayton, the Pitbull of Comedy, is going to be here with upcoming dates at the Hollywood Improv and the Comedy Magic Store. Also, Adam Ray joins us in studio, too. Very funny comedian. You may know him as Brad Williams' podcast partner on their About Last Night podcast. He's also an actor and in that new Sandy Bullock movie called The Heat, which looks very funny. Mm-hmm. And apparently he's got lots of scenes with Sandra Bullock and Melissa McCarthy. This isn't some guy in the background. This is a real live actor. This is his big breakout. This may be the last time he ever comes on the show because he's going to be too popular after this movie.
Guaranteed.
And we'll catch up with our old friend Mike Ness from Social Distortion. He's playing the upcoming Hootenanny Festival. And we'll catch up with him, find out how he's been doing too. That is all on the way. Plus, Ralph's got the showbiz beat, and that's next here on the world famous
Fire Beer Mug.
No.
Right?
No, not this time. Now it's Fire Bean.
Yeah.
Every time, I have to say.
Hey, party people, it is Thursday. Ralph is here. It is time for our very first look at the showbiz beat for a new day. What's going on?
All hail Oprah Winfrey. She is most high. All hail the queen most powerful.
I thought the shine was a little bit off Miss Winfrey in recent years since she left her daytime talk show.
But the shine is back. Forbes magazine has listed her atop their annual 100 most powerful celebrity list. Powerful.
Okay. I'm so fat.
She has power. How do you define a powerful celebrity? Well, it's someone who's influential, who makes a lot of money. There's a combination of characteristics that they use to create the criteria for who's a powerful celebrity. But
and I would also say, whose list is this, Ralph?
Forbes magazine.
Forbes. I would also say that power in show business, anyway, is the ability to get projects done.
Yeah.
And if Oprah gets behind something, if she says, hey, I want to make this movie or produce this TV show or whatever, people are going to let her do it.
But it's also Forbes considers influence.
Right.
The ability to sway the masses, and Oprah Winfrey certainly has that. Everybody wants to be on her list of my favorite things,
right.
Or they want their book in her book club because she still has enormous sway with the populace when it comes to, selling stuff.
Yeah. Oprah!
There's Kevin's wife right there who's very excited about this list. Here's the rest of the top 10. I'll take you from the bottom to the top, see if you can guess who's number two.
Okay.
Ellen DeGeneres was 10. Well, sure.
Sure.
The popular daytime TV show.
And how great is that show, by the way?
I don't watch it.
Okay.
Justin Bieber, 9th. I guess he has certain sway with his lunatic followers.
Certain swag.
Oh, no, you didn't. Roger Federer.
Well, that's a
surprise. The only sports star on the list, by the way. John Bon Jovi, 7th on the list. Taylor Swift is 6th. Of course, she has her evil minions from Hades that she has power over. So, look, when you're the devil's daughter, you do have a lot of influence.
Look how young some of these people are now.
Yeah.
I think Taylor also, according to you, Ralph, controls the four horsemen of the apocalypse. All she has to do is just say when.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Madonna, 5th on the list. By the way, Madonna, the biggest earner this year for celebrities.
With her tour?
$125 million.
Wow.
Made this
Isn't
year.
That shocking? Because we talk about how over the hill
she's not the least bit relevant anymore.
No.
Right. Well, it's like Bon Jovi. It's the same as the classic rock acts that can still go out there and make phenomenal money every year, even though they're not really on the radio or making records that people care about.
Beyoncé, 4th on the list. She is enormously powerful and influential. Steven Spielberg still topping in the top 5. Which is nice to see.
Yeah.
He's come back big in the last couple of years with things like Lincoln, too.
In terms of Hollywood, he still can get anything he wants made and cause a lot of shots in the business.
Well, he's the best movie director of all time. That's why.
And Bean loves hyperbole.
Yeah.
I think, no.
Something is either the very worst or the very best.
It's a convenient media tag, but I think some people might have a little argument with
it. I agree with you, Lisa, that I am prone to that. But I do think
you are
the argument.
You're absolutely always prone to that. No, I'm sorry. You never, ever, ever say anything like that.
But, Ralph, you would agree that he would have to be in the conversation if you were going to seriously try to pick one,
yes,
right?
Yes, that's not what you said.
Very different than. He is absolutely the greatest filmmaker in history.
I think he's the best filmmaker in history. I do.
Okay. Who do you think number two is? Right after Oprah Winfrey.
Farrah Abramson.
Well, not Farrah Abramson.
I didn't have. I had a blank slate until you said Beyonce, and then I thought, well, it's got to be Jay-Z. He has to be on this list.
No.
Really?
No.
It's Donald Trump, right?
No.
He rules the world.
These are the worst guesses I've ever heard.
Jay-Z has an empire.
I am so disgusted with your guesses, I'm going to go to Beer Mug to see if he has a guess.
Uh-oh.
Beer Mug, do you have a guess on who would be the second most powerful celebrity according to Forbes magazine?
This might be 5 years delayed, but not Martha Stewart.
Oh, okay, now I'm sorry. I went
Tom Cruise can get you killed.
He can, but he's not on this list. Lady Gaga.
Oh
okay.
In terms of money and influence, Lady Gaga second on the list.
That makes sense.
Thank you all for playing. You're all horrible guessers.
We are bad players.
Yeah.
At least give me that Jay-Z was a better guess than Martha Stewart.
Of all those guessers, you were the best. Yes. You're the greatest guesser in the history of show business guesses. Salma Hayek married a billionaire.
Yes, she did. Now, he's French.
He is French and he's rich. And now we know why. Apparently her father was quite rich.
Oh.
And she was quite spoiled as a child and is used to having the finer things in life. You know how rich her father was?
How rich?
When she was a child, her father bought her 3 tigers.
Oh, wow.
Now, I only had 1 tiger growing up. I think it's really sort of, you're in danger of ruining a child if you indulge them to 3 tigers.
Flaunting.
That is just overdoing
3 is excessive.
I think. Yeah, 1 tiger per kid is enough, don't you think?
3 tigers.
I do too.
Yeah, one of them developed a mean streak and had to go. I don't know what had to go means.
Did they take care of
like
it?
Like Bean's rooster, maybe.
Yes.
That's how it went. Another one died when it got caught in an air conditioning vent.
Oh, this is good.
That's terrible.
And the third, Rambo, the baby of the bunch, also suffered an unfortunate demise. So,
well, they were not. They should not have been having tigers.
Well, that's why you need three, because they just die so easily. You got to keep them. Like goldfish.
That's just so sad.
It's horrible.
It's hard to keep them alive.
And by the way, the tiger didn't develop a mean streak. The tiger was a tiger.
No, right? It's a mean tiger. The one that got caught in the air conditioner was much nicer.
Sad.
Aww, that's horrible.
Why is it so stuffy in here? And why does it smell like raw meat?
I don't know about the
meat. Someone check the vent. Someone check the vent. I think there may be a tiger stuck in our air conditioning vent.
So does she still keep tigers now that she has this billionaire husband? No, is he going to hook her up?
And she has such a good track record?
No, she is. She's got the... She can't even talk about the death of the third tiger, by the way. She said she was so close with that cat. She still hurts her to bring it up.
Hmm.
So apparently it's a no-tiger family now.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Good.
Hey, tomorrow night, 10 p.m., Kevin Smith and I are doing our Hollywood Babylon live show at the Improv on Melrose in Hollywood. We'd love to have you come join us. It's the last one for a couple weeks because we're taking some time off. So come down and see us at the Improv Friday, 10 p.m., me and Kevin Smith doing Hollywood Babylon, improv.com for more details and tickets.
The hour is coming.
The hour is coming, bitches. Today's celebrity birthday, Chandler Riggs. You know, may not know the name, but you know him as Carl from The Walking Dead. He is 14 years old today.
Oh, Carl.
For his birthday, I'm going to buy him a new effing hat. That's the worst hat ever.
I'm so glad Kevin is not here today.
He'll die. I was called to die.
Because we would have to hear 5 hours of wanting that teenager killed.
I have to call so much.
Ed Westwick of Gossip Girl is 26 years old today. Khloe Kardashian celebrates her 29th birthday. Tobey Maguire. Now, Tobey Maguire is 38 years old. Writer, director, mother effing empire builder, J.J. Abrams is 47 years old today.
Where's he on that list, by the way?
Yeah, good question. He is the greatest director, writer, producer in the history of television. He's 47 years old today. And Lee Nash, singer for Sixpence None the Richer, is 37 years old today. We're going to have to get some of that... Kiss Me song up there, because that's one of those voices. I don't know what she looks like, but I just want to bang her voice when I hear that.
She's cute.
Is she cute?
Yeah. She's cute, yeah.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, let's sell for some Lone Ranger tickets,
shall we? Okay, let's do that. Coming up next, we have a game we tried to play yesterday, but we got some incredibly stupid listeners who failed miserably. So we're going to do a do-over, a takeover. We're going to play the same exact game with the same exact clues, and we'll see. What?
I'm just saying, we're giving away the store here, aren't we? People who are listening yesterday, you have an excellent chance of winning your Johnny Depp tickets because we're doing it exactly the same way.
Yeah, so call now if you're a Johnny Depp fan. 1-800-520-1067. Call now, and we're going to play some tickets, play a game for some tickets for the Lone Ranger game. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
The Pitbull of comedy, Bobby Slayton, joins us next hour here on The Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks a lot for tuning in for a Thursday morning. How about The Lone Ranger? How great does this movie look, by the way?
It looks awesome. I'm so excited.
It is awesome.
Ralph, your boyfriend, Army Hammer, is in the movie.
I saw it.
I saw it.
You did it.
But Johnny Depp is a guy who makes interesting choices. He's been in so many great movies, and we asked for Johnny Depp fans to give us a call, and they're on the line right now at 1-800-520-1067. They're playing to see Johnny Depp in his latest film called The Lone Ranger. You'll see it on July 1st at the AMC Century City. It opens everywhere on the 3rd. And the reason we want Johnny Depp fans is because this game is called Depp Perception.
We had tickets to a Johnny Depp movie.
This is the Depp Perception. This is the Depp Perception.
Again.
We'll play for you a clip of a Johnny Depp movie.
Again.
This is the Depp Perception. This is the Depp Perception.
Again.
Just identify what movie the clip is from. And you will see the Lone Ranger. Now look, you won.
Again.
This is the Depp Perception.
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 Again.
The reason Omar keeps saying again is because we played this yesterday, and it was a spectacularly bad grouping of listeners who were playing the game.
Yeah.
Embarrassingly so. And we wanted to give the listeners a chance to redeem themselves. And also, we liked this game so much, we thought it was such a good way to give away tickets.
Yeah.
That we didn't want to waste it on those dumb people.
So we're playing clips from Johnny Depp films. All you have to do is give us the title of that movie. And I think the clips that Omar picked are pretty easy.
I accosted him. I said, this is too easy. Omar, you're just handing these tickets out to people. How dare you, sir? And then we played them for people, and they were like,
Was it Patton?
No, Johnny Depp wasn't even in Patton, sir. It was made well before his
The Hangover 3?
Yeah, it was horrible, horrible answers.
All right, so Johnny Depp movies, that's what we're looking for. We play the clip, you tell us what the film is. If you're right, you win tickets. Our first contestant is going to be Chris. He is on line one. He's going to get us going. Good morning, Chris.
Hey, Bean. Hey, Ralph.
Hey,
hello,
Chris.
Hello, Chris.
Chris, this is your clip from a Johnny Depp film. Listen carefully to this first clip.
And I know that you're ashamed of me.
No, I'm not.
I never wanted to be a joke.
No joke, Mom.
Oh, Gilbert, please don't disappear.
All right. There was your clip. Do you know what Johnny Depp movie that was?
What is Eating Gilbert Grape?
Ladies and gentlemen,
yes.
That's how you do it.
That's how it's done.
That's how it's done. Thank you so much, Chris. You're an awesome contestant. Hang on, you've won tickets. All right, up next is Chuck. Chuck is on line two.
Chuck?
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning, sir. Hold on. Here is your
Here's your
clip from a Johnny Depp movie.
What's your purpose in Port Royal? And no lies.
Why then?
I confess. It is my intention to commandeer one of these ships, pick up a crew in Tortuga, raid, pillage, plunder, and otherwise pilfer my Weasley black guts out.
There you go. What's that movie, Chuck?
Pirates of the Caribbean.
There we go.
Come on.
That's done.
Wait,
this
hold
is what
on.
We wanted.
It's not Sweeney Todd, like the listener said yesterday?
No.
All right, Chuck, you win. Congratulations. 2 for 2. This feels good. Let's try Matt. Matt's up next. He's on line three.
Yeah, morning, Bean. Morning, Ralph. Morning, Mr. May.
Morning.
Good morning, Matt.
Now, we had another foreigner yesterday, Ralph, who I think failed us, right?
He did. He did not do well.
So I think Matt is going to perhaps redeem the foreigners. So listen up. Here's your clip.
We had 2 bags of grass, 75 pellets of mescaline, 5 sheets of high-powered blotter acid, a salt shaker half full of cocaine, a whole galaxy of multicolored uppers, downers, screamers, laughers.
What film is that from, Matt?
Oh, that is Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah!
This is what we expected yesterday.
You're the best, Matt. Thank you. Now you can berate Omar for making the clips too easy.
That's right. Stupid Omar.
Let's try Sean. He's up next, line four. By the way, all dudes calling for the Johnny Depp contest this morning, which really surprises me.
Lone Ranger, kind of a dude flick.
Yeah, but the chicks love Johnny Depp. Hey, we're talking. Grown-ups are talking. Here, Sean. All right, we're 3 for 3, man. Don't blow the streak. Listen up. Here's your Depp clip.
If you're a rat, then I'm the biggest mutt in the history of the mafia.
Even if this thing is a federal boat left, they scam all these other people. They didn't scam us. You know what I'm saying? We went, we had a great party, we walked away from it.
Hello?
John, what say you?
Donnie Brasco, come
there
on.
There we go, come on. Look at
come on.
Who are these people? Oh,
easy Donnie. Peasy indeed.
Oh, Donnie, you got to help me get out of here.
Thank you, Sean. You're going to see the movie. We appreciate it. All right, that's 4. We only have 1 pair of tickets left. Maybe John will give us a clean sweep on line 5. Hey, John.
John? Johnny?
Somebody had to blow it. Somebody had to screw it up.
Come
on,
Johnny.
So well.
Come on, buddy.
All right, let's move on to Steven. Steven is on line 7. He'll have to be our next contestant. Hopefully final. Hi, Steven.
Morning, party people.
Good morning.
Steven, this may work to your advantage. We're going to play a clip from a Johnny Depp movie testing your depth perception. Here we go.
I'm Veruca Salt. It's very nice to meet you, sir.
I always thought a Veruca was a type of wart you got on the bottom of your foot.
What film was that from, Steven?
Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Boom!
There it is. Ladies and gentlemen.
Boom! 5 for 5. 5 up, 5 down.
Our listeners are undefeated. Well done. You'll see the Johnny Depp movie. Thanks a lot for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show and for playing Depth Perception.
This is the Depth Perception. This is the Depth Perception. This is the Depth Perception. This is the Depth Perception.
Nothing but great news for our friend Ozzy Osbourne these days, Lisa.
I am amazed at this story.
Well, 2 things are going on in Ozzy's life right now, both of which have to make the 64-year-old happy, although he looks 100. First of all, he has the #1 album in America this week.
That's stunning.
The Black Sabbath comeback album called 13 is the #1 album in America this week, which is crazy.
Yeah.
How many 64-year-olds are doing that? Secondly, he is back together, reunited, and it feels so good, with his beautiful wife, Sharon, who, as you know, they were separated earlier this year because Ozzy, after many years of sobriety, fell off the wagon. And Sharon is like, no, I've been married to that crazy on drugs Ozzy before, and I'm not going to do it again. So she kicked him out of the house. He was living at the Beverly Hills Hotel. And now he is clean and sober, I guess, over 3 months. Now it looks like not only they are living together again, but they are talking about, and this is very heartwarming, renewing their wedding vows.
Wow, that is very sweet. She Talking is a about, saint.
She is. And he, when he says he'd be dead without her, he'd be dead without her.
Yes.
He really would. So we couldn't be happier to see that this is happening. And we asked producer Dave if they could line Ozzy up for us on the phone. And sure enough, we've got him. Ozzy, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
Hello, Ozzy. How are you? Kevin and Bean here. How's
yeah,
it going?
We're Kevin and Bean. You're Ozzy. Congratulations on, first of all, on the number one album with Black Sabbath. That must feel terrific.
Yeah, Black Sabbath. It's got a number one album now, you know.
Yeah.
Right.
It's number one.
That's what I said to you.
Well,
yeah.
It's called Yeezus, and I hope you all pick it up.
No, it's 13.
Where are my croissants?
That's the Kanye album. You're a little confused. But the reason we wanted to talk to you is to find out how you were able to patch things up with Sharon, because it sounded like she was pretty ticked off at you, Oz.
Well, I don't know if you noticed or not, but I used to have a problem with drugs and alcohol.
What?
We heard something about that.
And so I was doing drugs and alcohol again after all these years.
Mm-hmm. How could anyone tell if you're doing drugs and alcohol? That's my question.
Well, I get very coherent. I make a lot of sense. So it's finally time. Now that the Supreme Court says we can get married, that Sharon and I get married again.
No,
Sharon,
no.
Supreme
no.
Court says we can get married.
No, Ozzy,
you're finally going to get married after all these years of
you're confused. No,
being just civil partners.
Ozzy, you were already married. You were fine to get married. You've been married for a long time.
I'm married already. I'm sorry, Sharon. I can't marry you. I'm already married.
No, no, no. You can still marry her. You're just renewing your vows. But that doesn't have anything to do with the Supreme Court decision yesterday. That was about same-sex couples that want to marry. It has nothing to do with heterosexual couples.
Yes, we want to have the same sex as married people do. So we're going to get married and have the same sex just like you do.
No, no.
Why should we be any different? Our sex is just like everyone else's.
You
we have
totally,
the same sex as you do.
You don't understand.
It depends on what orifices that you use.
Okay, I don't want to hear about that at all.
We probably have the same sex as you do.
The Supreme Court...
Do we have the same sex as Kevin and Bean do?
Oh, I hope not.
Yes.
Okay, listen. Okay. The Supreme Court was talking about men who want to marry men,
I'm
women
man,
who want to marry women.
I want to marry women, too.
All right, what's the renewal ceremony going to be like? Is it going to be big and elaborate? Are you going to wear a suit? She's going to wear a dress? You're going to invite lots of people? Or is it just going to be kind of a low-key thing?
No, I'm going to wear a dress, and she's going to wear a suit.
I don't doubt that at all, actually.
It's going to be more fun. It's going to be like this.
Oh, wow, you guys are ready.
Here comes Ozzy. Here comes Sharon. Supreme Court has said that now we can get married.
Nope.
She is the woman. I am the man. We have the same sex as gay people do. That means the butt and other places.
Okay, you know what, Ozzy?
Lubricants.
Okay, Ozzy, we gotta go.
All that possible.
All right. Ozzy, congratulations.
We've got three children. One used to be fat. She's still unattractive and makes me go.
Oh,
Ozzy, you were fine. Come on. This is uncalled for. Ozzy.
You ever watch that Fashion Police on E?
Got a story about a woman being removed forcibly by law enforcement from an airplane for refusing to turn off her cell phone.
Because she wouldn't shut the F up?
Right. By the way, this story happened to have happened in Florida. But this is something that you see all over the country. This one is not exclusive to Florida, even though Florida does give us many of our greatest stories on the Kevin and Bean Show. I don't know that I've been on a flight where somebody hasn't resisted the urge to turn off their electronics or get off their cell phone as the plane is preparing for takeoff. It just seems like you want to push that to the last possible second. At least some people do, right?
And don't you love that when the flight attendant comes up to someone and they hold up that finger?
Yep.
You know, like, just a minute. Don't,
yep.
just don't, I'm wrapping this up. Just a minute. It's unbelievable.
Look, here's the thing. I think part of it is that we all know that you don't really have to turn that stuff off for the flight to take off safely. I think that's part of what's going on is it's not necessary. You can clearly use your iPhone and your iPad and your laptop or whatever else you have, and it's not going to interfere with the flight. We all know that. And I think eventually we're going to get to the point where we're allowed to use those things. So I think that's part of what's going on is people know it's not like a serious thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is that people, you know, they've, oh my God, I'm going to be out of touch for an hour. What am I going to do? They feel like they got to jam everything in before they take off. But the flight attendants come around, they're just doing their job, and they ask you to shut it off. And go ahead and shut it off, because there are 400 other people on the plane that have some place to go to. Don't hold us up.
Yeah, okay? Now you're just rude.
Right. So this woman is Lindsay Blenamy, is probably not how you pronounce her name, but that's what I'm going with.
All right.
She's on the plane, and the flight attendant comes up and says, I'm serious now. I've told you once, you have to turn off your phone. And she won't. She keeps talking. Flight attendant tells the pilot. Pilot turns the plane around. They're on the runway. Turns the plane around, heads back, and they call the airport police to come and forcibly take the woman off the plane.
Oh, that's the best story ever.
And by the way, no party for the other passengers on the plane either, who are now additionally delayed while the plane goes back to the airport, and they have to pull this woman off the plane. And even that is not a quick exchange, because listen to the tantrum she throws as the police try to explain to her, you are being arrested because you wouldn't hang up your goddamn phone.
You can get off the plane, or you can get off the plane and go to jail.
Now, listen, I'm college educated. You don't have to tell me more than that.
No, no, no. You don't want to make this worse right here in a plane full of people.
All these people are waiting for you.
Please don't get off the plane.
I'm going to touch you real hard.
We have another
No, you're not.
Go.
You want to go to jail?
What is the problem? Someone needs to come here and tell me what's the problem. Someone over there needs to come here. Sir, do not.
Part of the rules.
Excuse me, this has nothing to do with you. Shut the up. You choking me? Get the
Okay. So she's not taking the news well. And by the way, someone needs to tell me what this is about. Isn't it pretty obvious that what it's about is you've been asked three times to turn off your phone and you won't?
The only person who doesn't know what it's about on that plane is you, stupid lady.
Right, exactly. Now, this is a YouTube video, by the way, that was captured by one of the other passengers who just turned on his phone and let this thing roll. But I mean, she's being told, look, you're holding up everybody else on the plane. And she just doesn't care because she's so indignant. She starts swearing at everybody and threatening everybody. It gets worse. Listen.
This is not what you want. Please don't do this.
Not what you want.
Don't do this.
You want to go to jail?
Don't do this.
You want to go to jail?
I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going anywhere.
One at a time.
Because you bull somebody, I know you have to tell me what I've done before I get off this thing. Somebody has to tell me what I've done. This is bull.
I'm trying to
I'll hold up this whole My son. Somebody got to tell me something. You need to get one of those flight attendants over here. You get them over here and you tell them what I did and I'll get off. What have I done? Did I not follow your orders?
You did not comply.
I did not?
On the phone the whole time.
Was I on my phone? And I'm sitting next to this man. No, no. Because I've been lied on. I'm not, no.
You got to get off the plane.
I don't care where people got to go. I don't care. I'm not going to fight you.
Then let's go.
Because
you got to get off this plane.
So they can say anything to you?
Yes, and they can't.
No, no. That's a lie.
Okay, okay. What is she missing about what's happening here? Why is she so confused?
She's been lied on.
She has been lied on in her defense.
I know that.
The poor woman's been lied on. But, I mean, how many times could she say, you can't take me off this plane when clearly they can? How many times could she say, you have to tell me what's going on when clearly they already have? What's going on with this woman?
Did she say her son was there?
Yes, she had a child with her.
Oh,
yes,
that's brilliant.
This is what she's doing in front of her kids. And by the way, she's not making herself any friends with the other passengers when she's basically F them, I don't care what they have to do, and they're all lying on me and everything like that. It's just she's so unbelievably clueless. In case you're wondering, by the way, she was arrested and charged on three counts, including battery, because she did fight back, scratching, kicking, and violently resisting the officers. In fact, other passengers had to come to the officers' assistance to restrain the woman.
Wow.
So she's charged with battery, disorderly conduct, and resisting arrest with violence. Let's hear a little bit more of this beautiful flower.
No, that's a violent.
It's the right to refuse you.
Let's go.
No.
Nate, I'm taking you off. You ready? You ready?
It's going to go down bad.
Are you ready? Here it comes.
Don't you fight me. Because
all
let me
this,
tell you
please,
something.
Come on. Are you kidding me?
Get the off,
miss. There's the fight.
The little boy. Watch the little boy.
Get off.
Really? Come on.
Get
just get her arm.
She's got thick wrists. She's got the.
Are you kidding me? You're unbelievable, woman.
That poor kid. That breaks my heart.
Don't put those on me. Don't put those on me. You know what this reminds me of? And that cop, by the way, is awesome because, I mean, it's incredulous to him that this is as difficult a removal from an airplane as it is.
Yeah.
But this reminds me so much of that poor guy behind the counter in the ice cream store?
Dunkin' Donuts.
Dunkin' Donuts. Yeah, the woman last week who was throwing that huge tantrum and the poor guy behind the counters was just staying so calm. Like, who among us would be able to be as calm as that police officer was as he's taking that woman off the plane?
Yeah, he did a great job. Is he the one who keeps going, are you kidding me?
Are you kidding? Yeah, he just can't even believe, like, what a tantrum she's throwing over this because she's so in the wrong. So, listen, people, it sucks that you have to turn off your phone. It sucks that you have to shut down your electronics. You can't watch your DVD or whatever it is you're trying to do.
You get to fly. That's not so bad.
You do get to fly. Just shut it down, America. That's what I'm saying.
That bitch is crazy.
The Ralph Garman remix, apparently, of that song here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Jeff Banas from La Mirada, way to go. You just won tickets for Nine Inch Nails at Staples Center. Also, you're qualified for the private helicopter ride to the show, a suite at the JW Marriott, and the best seats in the house. Your chance to qualify coming up. Grand prize drawing tomorrow. Here's the line from the press release from the company, the guy we're going to talk to next. Magnus Irvin is joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show, Ralph.
Yes, I love Magnus.
Rings of succulent chocolate, lovingly cast and crafted from the delectable posterior of our stunning butt model.
Yep. Yes, indeedy.
It's the edible anus is what's being offered for sale, and we are going to explain that to you.
And if there isn't a band named Edible Anus by now, I call dibs.
Absolutely. That's coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show. Bobby Slayton next hour as well. Right now, Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat. Good morning.
Good morning, boys and girls. Thanks to everyone who sold out Hollywood Babylon last week at the Improv. We truly appreciate it. We're doing it again tomorrow night at 10 p.m. If you'd like to come down and check us out, we'd love to have you, Kevin Smith and I, with our take on the week's news and entertainment. We have a good time. It's at the Improv on Melrose in Hollywood, 10 p.m. tomorrow night. Spend your late Friday night with us. You can go to Improv.
Saturday!
Wrong. Incorrect. Friday, 10 p.m. You can go to csmod.com or improv.com for tickets.
Friday, yeah. Saturday, Sunday, Monday, 7 a.m. till noon.
See, now I'm confused. I don't know when the show is. I believe it's Friday at 10. Neil Diamond has had a career resurgence thanks to what went on in Boston with the marathon after the bombings. Of course, his song Sweet Caroline famously played there at the baseball games in Boston. And he showed up and sang it live for them. They remember as sort of a bolster to the community's morale.
And it was an amazing thing because it was his idea. He called the Red Sox and said, hey, I want to come do it. I want to come give something back to the community and just let me in. I mean, just out of the blue.
Showed up on his own.
Beautiful gesture.
Flew out on his own dime and showed up without an entourage, just sang the song and everyone, their head exploded. Well, he promised at the time that he would write a song for Boston. And he has made good on that promise. It is called Freedom Song, They'll Never Take Us Down. I guarantee you, it sucks. Just from the title alone, I can tell you. Neil is a guy whose songwriting talents have diminished over his career. Mm-hmm. He is like Paul McCartney in that sense, that perhaps his best days are behind him when it comes to writing songs. And it comes out, you can hear it for yourself, on July the 2nd through iTunes and Amazon.com. And all the proceeds will go to the Boston One Fund and the Wounded Warriors Project. So even if it blows, people buy it because all the money's going to a good cause.
I don't doubt it. I mean, that title is not does not sound encouraging.
No, it does not.
And I haven't heard the whole song yet, but there is a 5-second teaser clip online.
Oh, awesome!
If you want to hear some of that, just give us a. What's the song called again?
It's called a Freedom Song, and then it is subtitled "They'll Never Take Us Down."
Okay, let's hear a little bit of that from the new Neil Diamond. No, that just seems kind of inappropriate for the subject matter, I think.
It doesn't sound like Neil's voice.
Not at all.
Very distinctive voice, and that does not sound at all like it. Anybody here a fan of Weird Al Yank? What's it? Yankovic?
Yankovic? Best person in the world ever? Yes, I am.
I just want to give everybody a little heads up. If you'd like to meet Weird Al in person, he is going to be signing copies of his new children's book, My New Teacher and Me.
Yay!
At 11 a.m. this coming Saturday, June the 29th, at Children's Book World, which just sounds like a pedophile's heaven.
Children's Book World. It is on Pico Boulevard in Los Angeles. Al will be there signing copies of his new book, My New Teacher and Me. It's for kids. And I guess he wrote it, and he's very proud of it. And he's
this is his second one. First one was a big bestseller. The second one's getting good reviews.
All right,
and
easy.
I already have my duct tape and my rope in the car, heading on down to Pico.
please don't go. Please don't go and bother Weird Al theme.
I'm not going to. Remember, you know, I already have my plan with Weird Al, and that's when he dies, I stuff him and put him on my couch. So I don't need to worry about him while he's alive.
What do you do if you're the producers of the next Star Wars movie? And you want to put all your old stars in that film, and then you realize they are very old and very fat. What do you do?
Well, you take advantage of the digital technology that exists, and you young them up.
Or you do what the producers are doing. They have contacted Carrie Fisher and Mark Hamill, and apparently have already assigned them nutritionists and trainers to try to get them in some sort of recognizable shape before they start filming the next Star Wars film.
Really?
And I think they're about a year out from starting production on this film.
So they have time.
They have time. But how great would somebody just rang your doorbell and said, yeah, someone's paying for us, and we're going to cook all your food and just whip you into shape next year. Wouldn't that be
awesome? That'd be amazing.
Yes.
That's your job.
Yes.
Yeah, that'd be great. So hopefully by the time it rolls around, we'll say, oh, that looks like Princess Leia. It doesn't look like Jabba the Hutt. And I guess Harrison is the only guy who sort of kept in shape over the years, but they are going to have to hire a voice trainer to try to get Harrison to speak up for the next film.
Something happened to him.
Everyone's got their own problems. You'll be happy to know that Molly the monkey, Justin Bieber's former pet, has emerged from quarantine in his new German home, and he is now happily ensconced in the Serengeti Park at Hodenhagen, North Germany. He's going to be introduced to the zoo's other capuchin monkeys, where they will shun him because he sags his pants and wears a gas mask. No, apparently he's very happy, and he's much happier than he would have been hanging out with Justin Bieber. However,
in Germany. You know, the Germans always make good stuff.
Germans make good stuff, and Bieber's got a new monkey, so this guy...
He needs to be demonkeyed for good.
He does. He needs a monkeyectomy is what
yes,
he needs.
He does.
He needs that monkey surgically removed. While we're talking about the Biebs, he's a dick.
Yes. That's the other story?
Yeah, it's part of it. And this story confirms that. Apparently, he was quite cozy with a former Hooters waitress and model named Jordan Ozuna during a trip to Las Vegas last week. This is the same trip where he showed up at that indoor skydiving joint.
Oh, right at the last minute?
Right at the last minute, just before they closed. And they said, we're kind of ready to close. He said, no, me and all my homies want to skydive. And they said, okay. And then at the end, they presented him with a bill. And they said, look, we'll forego the cost of your seven people entourage doing our services if you will just take some Instagram photos and give us a nice review and post it up on your website with your millions of followers, and we'll call it even. So he pretended to post it on Instagram. And then
what a dumb douchebag.
Well, now it turns out he's even a bigger dick, because the woman, Jordan Ozuna, that he was seen making out with and hanging out, she has a little problem. Well, I guess it's not a problem for her. She's married to a member of the U.S. Coast Guard who is currently serving overseas.
Ooh.
Oh.
Yeah. So, good times all around.
And now we all know about it.
And now we all know about it, and this poor bastard is over there serving his country. And
bitch got no class.
His whore wife is tramping around with Bieber. So. Ugh.
They just that it's Bieber, that's the worst insult.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. He wouldn't mind her cheating if it was somebody cool.
But Bieber?
If it was with a dude.
Bieber? I'm out there, and you... Bieber? That's what he's asking. And, of course, lots of celebrities were celebrating the fact that yesterday the Supreme Court of the United States made some rulings which were very favorable in the terms of same-sex marriages. However, not all the Twitter reaction was favorable. I thought some of the more entertaining tweets were those from the conservative side of the political spectrum, like former Governor Mike Huckabee, who now, of course, is a big TV star with his own show.
Yeah.
This was my favorite tweet of the day. My thoughts on the Supreme Court ruling that determined that same-sex marriage is okay? Jesus wept. He wrote. Really? Is Jesus actually weeping? Michelle Bachmann.
Oh, her head must have exploded.
A little bit. Marriage was created by the hand of God. No man, not even the Supreme Court, can undo what a holy God has instituted.
Well, I mean, look, I have many things to say on this subject. I don't want to derail the showbiz beat, but they're on the wrong side, A, of history, and B, of the will of the American people. Forget the argument that the Supreme Court was interpreting the Constitution in their ruling yesterday. These people who want to be in politics are now being outspoken about things that the majority of citizens and voters don't agree with them on anymore.
But, Bean, Jesus is crying. What are they supposed to do?
Yeah, yeah.
What about Jesus? And how about God? He created marriage.
Don't you get this idea that they feel like they've been denied the right to get married now? Somehow they don't get to. Straight people don't get to get married.
Yeah. I don't know what they're thinking. I don't understand it. I really don't. But thank God we operate in a nation of laws and not on the Bible.
Yeah, it's very entertaining, though, to hear their side of it. Because they don't really have a lot to go on other than Jesus and God.
Yeah.
Other than that, they got nothing.
No wonder your behind is bleeding!
Well, they got that, I guess.
Can't wait to talk to the edible anus guy about this. Right. He must have a take.
He's thrilled.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Ed Westwick of Gossip Girl is 26 years old today. Gossip Girls. What happened? Am I?
Was that you, Bean?
Oh, sorry. I was thinking of Ed Wynn. Sorry, my apologies.
Oh, my God. Wait a minute. So because Ed Westwick has the same first name as Ed Wynn, you thought that was
and
an appropriate
a
drop
W.
Play.
I withdraw the comment. I couldn't have been more wrong in every single way.
Well, at least you admit it. Khloe Kardashian's 29 years old today. Chandler Riggs, Carl from The Walking Dead, he's 14 years old. Tobey Maguire is 38. Doesn't it seem like Tobey Maguire's been famous for 50 years?
It does.
Yes. How's he only 38?
And he still looks 20, also, by the way.
Writer-director J.J. Abrams is 47 years old today. Speaking of Star Wars, he's going to steward that franchise into the future. Good for him. And a singer, Lee Nash of Sixpence, None the Richer, is 37 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
The Pitbull of Comedy, our friend Bobby Slayton, joins us in studio in about 10 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Also, Adam Ray, who's a very funny young man and actor in the new Sandra Bullock movie. He's going to be joining us at the 8 o'clock hour. And Mike Ness from Social Distortion at 9. So a lot of shows still coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph, how did you first hear about edibleanus.com?
I'm trying to think. I believe it's because
your parents gave you one for Christmas.
No, my podcast partner Kevin Smith, he has a sexual leaning, and we talk about it often on the show. And someone recommended that someone with that particular sort of bent would enjoy this confection, these delicious chocolates that are shaped like a sphincter.
Well, I think it's perfect for anyone on your gift list. Yeah, and let's face it, with Father's Day, Mother's Day, Christmas, holidays, birthdays, why not? Edibleanus.com, the anus that made Britain great, is what's on the website. And we've got Magnus Irvin on the phone. He is the co-director of Edible Anus. Hi, Magnus. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
Yes. Good afternoon. I'm very well. Yourself?
Very well, Magnus. Thank you.
Doing great. Excited to speak with you. So I see from your website that you're part of a company that has been making chocolates and delivering chocolates worldwide for some time, almost 10 years now, right?
Yeah, it's got to be about that. I think you're right.
And what were you doing before the edible anus caught our attention? Just more traditional chocolate shapes?
No. I'm an artist, and I devised the edible anus because I saw it as a sculptural thing. When it began, it was just myself making a mold and casting chocolate anuses and selling them individually, but not selling them through any retail outlets, just through art galleries when I showed.
Right.
So they started like that. So I'd never really made chocolate before that, but it's developed since then.
What is it about the shape of the anus that, as an artist, inspired you to sculpt it?
Well, it wasn't really the shape because, I've never been an anus aficionado, really. So.
Right. Okay, then what was your inspiration for the chocolate anus?
I just thought that the combination of chocolate and a real mold of an anus were rather nice. You know, I had a vague idea what an anus looked like, but it wasn't until I cast an anus.
I'd like to hear about that.
Well, you got to do it to find out.
Did you think, Magnus, that perhaps the combination of chocolate and an anus might be too much, let's say, on the head when it came to bringing up ideas of other things?
No, I don't think so. I think if you're going to do something, you got to go for it, follow your instinct. And, I tried it out on friends, and they were all suitably unimpressed, and I feel good. This could go far.
Magnus, Lisa brought up an excellent point about the casting. Can you please tell us about what is referred to on the website as the stunning butt model that you used?
This is, yeah, I can. And I've had to explain this on numerous occasions, because every time I show a box of anus, the first question, really, once they realize what it is whose anus is it?
That's an excellent question.
Yeah. And I hope your answer is it's the queen. I hope that's what you're telling people.
Oh, well, you know, if only.
Well, maybe someday. A man can dream, Magnus.
Well, I think there's been some trouble in that department. We keep reading about the royal family, the elderly ones, having to go into hospital for problems downstairs. So I've got a feeling I was better off in my model. It was actually I met who I didn't know. And I'd been thinking about making these. I hadn't actually... I had tried once to cast my own.
Not interested.
Well, okay. Let's just say it wasn't success.
Yeah, I'm sure it wasn't.
And I explained this to a girl I met at a bus stop, and she was very sympathetic. I'd never met this girl before. And she really liked the idea of this chocolate anus, and we got on all right. And she said, well, look, because I told her I'm looking for a model, she said, I'll do it.
Sure.
And we went to my house. My partner was out. My son was at school. And I took a cast of her anus.
Magnus has the most incredible game in the world. I can't get a woman to give me her phone number. You talk a perfect stranger into a bus stop to come to your house so that you can cast her anus. This is incredible, Magnus.
Magnus, I can't.
It does sound very odd, I know, but...
Yeah, I can see why you wouldn't put on your website, cast from the anus of a girl I met at a bus stop. I can see why that wouldn't be a sell.
Absolutely right. Yeah, absolutely.
We're talking to Magnus Irvin. He is the co-director of EdibleAnus.com, which, I mean, it spread like wildfire, of course, when this was first revealed upon the world a few weeks ago. Are you selling a ton of them? Are people buying them? People look at it and laugh and they like it, but are people willing to buy it and give it as a gift or eat it themselves, Magnus?
Well, the odd thing is, I think when people have seen it as a product, they sell okay. The problem is sort of breaking down that boundary between what people think it is and what it really is, because it's quite sophisticated. It doesn't, the way it's presented in the box, it's nicely packaged, they're beautifully molded, and they're very good chocolate as well. It's Belgian chocolate. Mm-hmm. I think once people see it, no problem.
Yeah, I guess when you hear it and then versus when you see it on the website, it is sort of a pleasant shape. It doesn't look, the least bit unappetizing at all.
Right. Looks delicious. No. Yeah.
And that girl was right on the bus stop. She does have a lovely anus, by the way.
Well, I didn't. It could have been anything, couldn't it? I guess I just got lucky.
You did.
Yeah. All right. Before we have to let you go, sir, tell me about the solid silver limited edition anus. What's that all about?
Having got the chocolate anuses on the go, we just thought we'd do it in precious metals. We haven't done a gold one. We've done solid silver ones. We don't produce as many, obviously, but they've been bought by some quite well-known people. And one of them is the girl from Scissor Sisters.
And, really? No kidding.
Yeah, and Elton John's got one.
Of course he does.
Yeah.
Elton John's his whole life has been waiting for a solid silver anus.
Yeah, I know. I think it's the top end of our market. But, they look great. And I've been making glass anuses, and they come in a box. And as you lift the lid, a small LED light turns on underneath the anus, and you get the light shine through. And they're rather nice.
And the voices of angels also come screaming out.
That's the next step. You could be on.
Well, look, as an artist, as a creative person, it has to make you so happy to see how well-received your work is being around the world, Magnus.
Yeah, it is. It's a bit surprising because it was a slow burner, but now we're getting a lot of interest.
Well, I think it's great. Yeah. I think it's fantastic. You are a delightful man. We appreciate you so much coming on. Magnus Irvin, the co-director of Edible Anus. Please check out the website, folks, at edibleanus.com. Have a great day, sir. Thanks for coming on.
My pleasure.
Bobby Slayton, ladies and gentlemen, the Pitbull of comedy. In studio with us here on the Kevin Beach Show. How are you, sir?
Fine. You know, I was really waiting so you would give me my plug and get that out of the way.
I can do that right now. Well, Bobby is going to be appearing tomorrow night. Friday, June 28th at the Comedy Magic Club in Hermosa Beach. Tickets are on sale now. Doors open at 6:30. Showtime is at 8 o'clock. Tickets are $20 through ComedyMagicClub.com. You'll have a great time. And then Saturday, June 29th at 8, you're going to be at the Hollywood Improv. Tickets on sale for that show as well, HollywoodImprov.com. So two big chances for you to see the great Bobby Slayton before he dies.
You know what it is? First of all, I never get to play in L.A. because I'm always on the road. And the show is so much smoother without Kevin here. And I'm surprised after the gay marriage thing that you guys don't openly travel together now. Now that the whole gay marriage thing is out, I know you have your imaginary families and you try to do that whole thing, but I think we should celebrate. And it's funny because, driving in here, I love listening to this show because I never know what I'm going to talk about. I always wanted to. First of all, it's great that Ozzy Osbourne. Let's recap what's gone on this morning. I've been listening since 6. It's great that he's getting remarried. You guys made a big deal about it. The fact that he's renewing his wedding vows, to me, why are you guys enablers? Why are you guys have to renewing your wedding vows? That's like reheating crappy food. Why would you go through this again?
I am no fan of the renewals of wedding vows at all. I don't like it. I don't get it. But I am so genuinely happy that Ozzy is clean again and that Sharon has taken it back that I wish them nothing but the best. That's why I'm okay with them.
Now, the other thing was, this Justin Bieber thing, we were just talking about his monkey is on some game preserve. You know, it's amazing to me. Look, Justin Bieber, you can't take talent away from the kid. I mean, and you don't know what you would do if you were 13 or 14 and you had all this talent and you were good looking and the girls were throwing themselves at you and you're making millions of dollars and you're in the cover of every teen magazine. And by the time you're 16, you get a mansion. And by the time you're 17, you're driving a Ferrari. But you know what it is? I don't think I would ever get a monkey. I think that is one thing that I said, here's where I draw the line. When somebody says, I'm going to travel on the road, I'm a big superstar, I'm a pop idol, and I'm going to get a monkey. The monkey thing didn't work out for Michael Jackson. It didn't work out for Abbott and Costello when they had a show in the 1950s. Having a monkey, having a child never works out. And now you're having a monkey. I would just think that if you're 18 years old and you're going to Europe and with the women and the money you're making.
Right? What do you need a monkey for?
What do you need a monkey for?
I'm telling it one step further. What do you need a child for? My daughter, I have one kid. And when she was little, we'd go to Disneyland and taking your kid on the road. Oh, let's take a trip. We'll go to the Caribbean. We'll go someplace. And then you want to go to a family-friendly resort where there's even more kids. And they're just horrible. Kids, the movie theaters, Marco Polo, swimming pools, airplanes. They just screw everything up. Just life in general. But then, okay, have a kid, or just make the commitment to get a kid. I don't know why he needs a monkey. So then I don't feel sorry for this guy. But then the other story you were talking about, this happened to me a couple of months ago, that thing you played with woman on the plane, that to me, how delusional people are. And I think all you guys listening to you, you're as perplexed as I am. How anybody could not know what they did wrong. I was on a flight, seriously, a few months ago, and at the end of the flight, this is kind of weird, the end of the flight, the flight attendant made an announcement, said, everybody stay seated. We have to take care of something. And the police came on. If I'm not mistaken, the FBI came on. And they pulled this woman off the plane. They handcuffed her. And I asked the flight attendant what she did. And they said she wouldn't shut her phone off as the plane was taking off. And I guess it was too late to turn the plane around. So they waited for the plane to land to arrest this woman.
Better on the other end. How about that?
Now, a couple of weeks ago, I'm in Washington, D.C., and I went to the Holocaust Museum. This is unbelievable. First of all, I'm not a fan of waiting in line. And you would think, being a Jew, we'd get some kind of VIP line pass.
That's
you would
true.
Just, you would just think. You would just think.
Maybe these are my people. Let me through.
Yeah. You know, we're the Jews. We deserve some kind of, like maybe at the slavery museum, the black people, let them move through faster. I know we shouldn't do that, but I think we all deserve it. Okay.
Thanks, Paula Deen.
Yeah. So, Paul, by the way, I'm writing on the new Paula Deen show on Disney. That Darn Negro. I'm the head writer on That Darn Negro.
Going to be very popular.
Yeah. And colored people do the craziest things. I'm going to work for that on the Discovery Network. So I'm looking forward to that. So it's nice to be back in L.A.
Bobby, hold that thought right now. I want to hear about the Holocaust Museum because nothing is funnier at 7:30 in the morning than Bobby's story about the Holocaust Museum. But we do have to take a quick break like we do. Tomorrow night, Comedy and Magic Club, Hermosa Beach. Tickets on sale now through ComedyandMagicClub.com. Then Saturday, June 29th. Hey, that's this Saturday, isn't it? That's going to be at the Hollywood Improv. You can get those tickets at Hollywood.improv.com. More with the Pitbull of Comedy, Bobby Slayton, after this on Kick. Comedian Adam Ray joins us next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Do you know Adam? Have you done his podcast with Brad Williams about last night? Have you done that one yet, Bobby?
No, I haven't. As a matter of fact, when he comes on, you should ask them why. Everybody says to me, why don't you get a podcast? Many years ago, I was on this thing. We've talked about this called Comedy World, which is a precursor to internet radio, but nobody was listening to the radio on the internet. Back then, people said, the internet's great. We can Google stuff and we can watch porn. And nobody thought.
Nobody went to the internet for entertainment back in those days. You were ahead of your time.
ahead of my time with everything.
Why don't you have a podcast? You have a lot to say.
Because everybody has one now, and I do so many morning radio shows. I mean, I love doing your show. But you know what it's like when you have to play, you know, the Chuckalot, the Funny Bone in Boise, Des Moines, which is fine. It's part of my job. But to get up and do some rat's-ass country music station like in Texas, where, you know, first of all, I can't make fun of the Bush family. I can't make fun of guns. I can't say anything because these people
are
so...
Well, there's half your act.
Yeah, I know. Well, thank you. And it's horrendous. But see, that's why I love getting up to do your show. I'm one of the few comics that has this work ethic where I like to get up 13 hours before I actually have to go to work. A lot of people, they get up, they have coffee, they jump in the shower. I say I need 13 hours. I need a full day before I can even think about getting on stage and doing comedy.
Well, the reason Bobby is here is not only is he appearing at the Comedy Magic Club tomorrow night, tickets are on sale now for that Hermosa Beach show. Saturday, he's at the Hollywood Improv. You can also buy tickets for that to see the Pitbull of Comedy on stage. But he wants to tell us about his recent visit to the Holocaust Museum, well, which is exactly what the Kevin B. listeners want this morning.
The only reason I brought it up was because of that horrendous woman that was kicked off the plane. You played that the last hour, and I told you I had the same experience. And it happens a lot where people won't shut off their cell phone. And like you guys said, nothing's going to happen. You know, because I've left my phone on many times by mistake, as I'm sure a lot of people have, and no plane has ever gone down.
Yeah.
They're not going to find that the 9/11 actually happened. There wasn't terrorists and somebody left on their iPad. It's just not going to happen. But here's what's even more horrendous. I'm in at the Holocaust Museum. My wife's never been there. I went to Hebrew school. I went through all this, and it's a fascinating place. But my wife says, let's get the private tour. And I don't want to go on a tour with people. So it's like six people and somebody's giving you each little exhibit you're looking at. And there was a woman, and her cell phone kept going off. And somebody said to her, just shut off your cell phone. It's the exact same thing that happened to that thing on the plane. Mm-hmm. And she wouldn't shut her cell phone off. She's one of these horrible Persian Jews, one of these people that thinks that you know, they're entitled to everything. One of these women you see in the valley all the time, driving their Range Rovers, who take two parking spaces, who do 55 in the left lane, who talk on their phone and hold up traffic. The horrible people that buy these beautiful little craftsmen in Hollywood homes with two bedrooms and turn it into a Beverly Hillbillies clamping mansion, yes, would actually build their house to the property line.
Yeah.
You know, and these horrible, horrible people. So anyway.
And by the way, doesn't it seem like, say what you will about cell phones, they're annoying if you're at Denny's and somebody's phone goes off.
Yes.
But in a place like the Holocaust Museum, it seems like there should be some decorum, some respect.
Well,
it seems like that's the kind of place where it's for solemn reflection is what it's about.
I could see this with anybody where you're in a movie theater, you're at the opera, and you forget to shut your cell phone off, okay? You shouldn't. But I can see. But once they tell you once, and she kept... And look, and I don't want to make this a funny thing, but I kept thinking, this is the one Jew. Did you wish, why couldn't she have been?
Oh, no.
She was horrible. I'm a Jew. Okay? I'm not pulling a Paula Deen. But she was just such a horrendous woman. And at the end of the tour, she actually said, you know, and this shows you that she's from the valley. She said, Auschwitz wouldn't have been so bad if they had a Trader Joe's. No, I made that up. Sorry. I had to have a big joke ending.
Bobby, I want to ask you about two television appearances.
That's the kind of joke you'll
get. That's the kind of joke you'll get at the Comedy Magic tomorrow night.
Yeah.
I want to ask you about two TV appearances.
Uh-oh.
One is you were on with our friend Mark Maron this Friday night. I really, really, really like his show on IFC. It's one of those shows, by the way, because I'm a fan of his podcast as well. I'm a subscriber. And it's one of those shows where I can't tell what's his real life. Like, I know Judd Hirsch isn't his real life dad, but I can't tell what is going on in his real life versus what he's doing for the show, because it seems so much like you're watching the real Mark Maron story.
Right. Well, you know what? I've known Mark for a long time. I'm not going to say we're best friends, but we kind of started out in San Francisco. He started out years later than I did. And I think he might have even opened up for me. Always found him brilliant. And he's very open about his marriages, his drug problems, his insecurity. But the great thing about Mark Maron, and the thing that many guys don't do, and Larry David did it, and a few guys did it, and I know that Kevin James has done it, Ray Romano's done it, they put their friends on their show. There's some comedians I'm going, hey, aren't you good friends with this guy? How come he's never had you on? Well, there's a million guys like me. I'm not saying you have to put me on, but there are some comics, you've seen shows on TV, where you don't see a lot of comedians making special guest star appearances. And almost every comic that you watch on any of these shows, from Patton Oswalt on this show, and you know, these guys, comics are pretty good comic actors. I'm not saying, you know, most of us have the range of De Niro, but you can work in a sitcom. I mean, that to me is one step above soap operas.
I agree. And Mark's been great about that. I've seen Dana Gold on the show. Jeselnik's been on. Now he's having you on. What are you going to be playing?
I just do a cameo. He has me on his podcast on the show. And I play, this is a big stretch for me. I play this fiction, like the way he plays a fictionalized version of himself. And you don't know what's real, what's not. When you see me on the show Friday night, I'm only on for a minute. He asks me a question, and I go ballistic. I play this fast-talking, angry, bitter old Jew comic, which is very fictionalized. I'm not like that at all. I'm a mean, angry, pissed off, just mad at the world kind of guy. And that, to me, was a stretch for me.
I am happy that you got the gig, because I know it'll keep you in health insurance for another year. So that's good news for the Bobby Slayton family. All right, one more thing before we have to let you go, and that is Beer Mug saw you on TV over the weekend in a surprising place, Muggs. Where'd you see Mr. Slayton?
I was watching Netflix, and I saw you.
Wait. I haven't seen it. Somebody just emailed me about this. Is it the porn thing?
After Porn Ends, the documentary about the porn stars who, after porn.
Do you know what? Here's what. Look, I haven't done that much stuff, but, you know, somebody emailed me a few weeks ago and said, you were great in the Lenny Bruce documentary. I think it's called Lenny Bruce Unmasked. Or Lenny. It was great, and I have a nice little. I forgot I did it. Years ago, somebody came to my house and did a documentary about Lenny Bruce, and it was, I go, wow, I didn't even know I was in that. But the porn thing, once I remembered about the Lenny Bruce thing, I go, wait, that's right, you came over to my house, we sat by the pool, and you talked to me about Lenny. But the porn thing, I haven't seen it, I don't remember. And somebody told me that it's me going on more than anybody, except for the Ron Jeremy about porn.
Yeah, you don't remember doing it?
I remember doing porn. I can't make money at this comedy crap. But
where did they tape him, Muggs? Where was Bobby speaking?
I think it might have been at a club. I forgot which male porn actor it was, but you were with another male porn actor who was talking about the business after it ended, and you guys were at a club, and it was taped in 2010. So
was it Stephen St. Croix? You know who he is.
Yeah, I know who that is. No, no.
Do you hang out with all the male porn actors? Is that what we're doing here, Bobby?
Here's what I tell you. I know we have to go, but I'll tell you one quick funny story. So Stephen St. Croix is a major porn star. His real name is Ben. And maybe I'm giving something away. Maybe I shouldn't. But anyway, he would come over to my house all the time, and my wife knew what he did. And my daughter was little.
Yeah, your wife knew what he did. That's for sure.
Well, no, she wouldn't watch any of his movies, but she knew what he did. And he would come over to the house, and he was just, you know, my daughter was 5, 6 years old, and knew him as Uncle Benny, and you know, had no idea what he did.
No
idea what he did. So, you know, he'd come over, he'd sit by the pool, he'd have barbecues. He's a great, great guy and a great porn star, if you go watch Stephen St. Croix stuff. So one day, my daughter, about 12 or 13, and she has a couple of her friends over. One of her little girlfriends, this little whore, goes, that's the porn star. And she's 13. How does she know? She goes, I watch porn. And I'm going, oh, my God. This girl, I mean, well, this made her hot. I mean, I wasn't trying to pull a Roman Polanski. But she was, I never looked at my daughter's friends like that, especially 13 years old. But when she says she watches porn, I'm a guy. If I was on an island and I had to keep the human race going.
The human race would die out, Bobby. I'm sorry to say. That's the only acceptable answer.
So once my daughter knew he was a porn star, it was okay. And she still gives him a hug. But he's over at the house with a female porn star. When they leave, I give her a hug, and my daughter goes, that's disgusting. That's disgusting. You're hugging a porn star. I go, you're hugging Uncle Benny. Well, that's different. See, there you go with women. It's a double standard. You can hug him, the porn star. I can't hug her.
See the problems Mr. Slayton has in his life.
That's why very complicated. If I had a pet monkey, this never would have happened. Kids today, I'll tell you.
And seed. Tomorrow night, Comedy Magic Club, Hermosa Beach. Please buy your tickets to go see Bobby Slayton on stage. I guarantee you'll have a great time. And then Saturday night at the Hollywood Improv, hollywood.improv.com. Bobby, thanks for coming in, man. We'll see you soon.
And tell Kevin I said hello.
Got more tickets for you this time. I guarantee it. You'll win them. 9 Inch Nails between 8 and 9 this morning for their upcoming show at Staples Center. Tickets go on sale tomorrow morning at 10. Details at krock.com. Ralph is here. Time for the Showbiz Beat now on a Thursday. What's going on, Ralph?
More news coming out regarding casting of the black remake of Annie that Will Smith is putting together. You know, it's supposed to be his daughter Willow was starring as Annie, but...
She's too old.
They couldn't whip her hair back and forth enough in that movie, so they...
Are they calling it After Annie? Do we know?
No, they're calling it Tanny.
Oh, no.
Yeah. It is Quivonze Wallace will be playing.
Oh, she's so good!
Instead of Willow. And Jamie Foxx will be playing the Daddy Warbucks character.
Wow.
But they have renamed the character because it is a black remake, and this is not a joke, Benjamin Stacks.
All right.
Because he's got stacks of Benjamins, yo.
Sure. Thanks for explaining that. I really didn't get it at first.
Lisa's the whitest.
I looked very blank, didn't I?
But the news is they've just cast Miss Hannigan, the evil woman who runs the orphanage where Annie starts out.
Farrah Abramson?
No, not Farrah Abramson.
Weird Al Yankovic.
Cameron Diaz will be Miss Hannigan in the upcoming remake. This movie just keeps getting better. Just keeps getting better.
Okay.
Sure. Bad person's got to be white. Yeah, I see how I see how the casting works now. I get it. Always coming at the white man.
That's right, man. Some
so
stereotypes
hard for
are
the
true.
White man.
It's hard to get a break for the white man in this
it
world.
Is, man.
You know it is? It's tough.
I wonder if there will ever be another white president again. I just wonder at that
Here
point.
We go. It's on.
Stop it.
Race
it's
war.
It's not on.
Race war's
no
on, everybody.
Race war.
It's going down.
Everyone relax.
It's going down.
We're
race
just
war.
Making
Come
jokes.
On. Race war.
We love. More casting news. Reese Ifans has been added to the cast of Elementary, the Sherlock Holmes TV series.
All right.
Who's
Johnny,
that?
Johnny Lee remember. Miller plays Holmes in it. Mm-hmm. Reese Ifans, you know him. He played, he first sort of became known to everyone as the wacky roommate in Notting Hill. He was Hugh Grant's crazy roommate.
Oh, I love him.
And he played the lizard in the most recent Spider-Man movie.
Yes.
Very talented guy. He'll be playing Sherlock Holmes' brother, Mycroft Holmes, on the series, beginning with the show's season 2 premiere in September. So he's been at it. And, of course, Lucy Liu plays Watson on mm-hmm. that show. Are you a fan of happy endings?
Well, yes.
The TV series, Lisa.
Oh, no.
That's what I meant.
You pervert.
That's what I meant.
Fans of that show are on the edge because if the show isn't picked up by the end of the week, the deals with the cast expire and the show will pretty much be over. ABC canceled the show last month, much like
they
did.
I'm going to start a website petition to bring it back.
Yeah. ABC canceled the show last month, much like they did with Cougartown, but then Cougartown got picked up by TBS. Mm-hmm. So fans of Happy Endings were hoping for a similar rescue. However, there has been no network stepping up as of yet to save that show, so fans of the show are going online begging, desperately pleading for someone to pick up their beloved happy ending so the show can go forward.
It is interesting, Ralph. We do live in a time, thanks to the mobilization powers of the internet, that if you have a cult TV show and you've got passionate enough followers, you can make enough noise that your show will be reconsidered, that people will consider. I mean, and you bring up some great examples. We have seen it happen before. It's just a question of whether there are quite enough Happy Endings fans. I don't know that they even have the audience of like a Community or somebody like that.
Yeah. My beloved Southland happened to them. Remember, NBC canceled them after one season. And
that's right.
Good people at TNT picked them up and put them on the air. And then dismissed them horribly. Still trying to get over that. And one last piece of television news. The CW network has just announced their new show, Jane the Virgin. It is the story of a hardworking religious girl who, through a series of strange events, becomes accidentally artificially inseminated.
That's weird.
So she is pregnant without ever having had sex.
Okay.
The first time is so beautiful.
It's sort of an immaculate conception, if you will.
I'm a virgin with white guys.
Apparently it is a remake of a Venezuelan soap opera that's very popular in Venezuela. And it's brought to you by the people who created Emily Owens MD. So you know it's got to be
that
good.
Show that Lisa made up?
I liked that show.
So you know
it wasn't
be.
A show. It wasn't on the air. It was in your mind. It played on the Lisa Mae Cineplex only.
You know it's got to be a big hit. Miley Cyrus isn't wearing any pants. This is her new thing.
Yeah, I've seen some photos of her where she goes out in just a shirt and panties, right?
Underwear is outerwear.
Yeah.
Is her thing now.
Yes.
There is a company called Topshop, and apparently they specialize in underwear that is meant to be worn so that everyone can see it for the new pantsless lifestyle.
Okay.
That some people are enjoying. You wear very sparkly T-shirts and tops, but then you wear these high-end designer underwear as your pants.
Yes.
Sometimes Miley wears sandals with her underwear, sometimes thigh-high boots, my personal favorite look. But she is wearing actual underpants out there in public.
Yeah,
she's on morning television this week. Apparently, Good Morning America, wearing a furry white granny panties. So it looked like pretty much she was wearing thigh high boots and a diaper. Good look for her.
I didn't see the interview, but I heard she seemed incredibly high on with Jimmy Kimmel the other night too.
I heard that as well.
Yeah.
And in Good Morning America, they asked her, are you still seeing Liam Hemsworth, your fiancé, supposedly?
Oh, right, that guy.
And she said, well, I'm wearing his ring, so... That was her response.
Okay.
Liam Hemsworth said, Miley, who?
That must have been a moment of party.
It was not, Kevin. Get back in the bottle. Today's celebrity birthdays, writer-director J.J. Abrams, the man... I think about the challenge of having to resurrect the Star Wars franchise, and I just think, man, I wouldn't be able to sleep at night.
No.
He probably isn't.
Incredible pressure. 47
I mean,
years old.
He successfully brought Star Trek back and just got raves for that first movie, mm-hmm. and proving it can be done. He's talented enough to do it, but man, you're right. Talk about a heavy burden.
Tobey Maguire is 38 years old today. Khloe Kardashian celebrates her 29th birthday. Drake Bell, the actor, is 27 years old. Ed Westwick from Gossip Girl turns 26. Chandler Riggs, who plays Carl on The Walking Dead, he is 14 years old. And singer Lee Nash from the legendary Sixpence None the Richer. Guess me.
Don't you just want to bone that voice? That's a hot little voice she's got.
Very cute.
She could be 400 pounds with a tooth coming out of her nose.
I know.
She's actually pretty
but
on
that
top of
voice,
it.
Man. That does it. That works for me.
This was before your time, Ralph, but that was a huge K-Rock hit. We played the crap out of that song when it came out. What, 1991, I want to say, something like that?
I'm sure we did.
Hard to imagine now that was a song we would have played, but we sure did at the time.
Yeah, she's 37 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Comedian Adam Ray joins us in about 50 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Mike Ness from Social Distortion in the 9 o'clock hour. And by the way, Lisa, looking ahead toward tomorrow morning's all-new Kevin and Bean Show.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, the return of comedian Michael McDonald. He'll be in studio with us tomorrow. And we're also going to talk to a guy who's behind the documentary about the maybe perhaps the first ever punk rock band. What am I hearing? What am I listening to here?
What's going on?
Go ahead. Fine. I'll wait.
Oh, Roland. Come on. We got something else. We're doing something else here.
Yeah, you're right. You're doing something else. You're gonna do the right thing and help me make some changes in this world.
All right. Hold on one second there, Roland. Listen, one of the first punk rock bands in America, and they happen to be all African-American. A band called Death is the name of the movie. We'll tell you about a group you never heard about, but were incredibly influential. That's tomorrow, right here on the Kevin Beach Show. Roland, why are you always butting into the broadcast? What's going on?
Because from time to time, I need to use your flimsy little morning radio show to get the word out about what's important.
I feel like we've been covering everything that you could possibly be interested in. It seems like, thanks to your friend Ralph Garman, all we ever talk about is goddamn Superman and Iron Man on this show.
Well, how about the important things, like Star Trek?
What's going on with Star Trek? Yeah. That movie's been out like a month.
You just died.
I just blasted you with my phaser for being stupid.
What are we supposed to be saying about Star Trek today?
What
the movie's out.
What's happening in Sacramento?
What's happening in Sacramento?
See, this is why you need me, because you don't know what's happening in the world. Important
Tell me.
Changes are happening.
Did you
hear what happened yesterday?
No.
What?
In Sacramento, they have taken two streets, and they have renamed them Klingon Court and Romulan Court. Now you can live at the corner of Romulan and Klingon.
That's a terrible idea. That's a terrible idea. Why would anyone want to live on...
And if by terrible you mean the world's greatest idea, then yes, you're right.
It just seems like it's like having a dumb name. You have to constantly explain to people, I know it sounds like a joke, but I really do live on Klingon Court. Nobody wants that.
Everyone wants it, and that's why we need to start making changes here in Los Angeles so that we don't get left behind by freaking Sacramento.
Isn't it enough that there's a TV show and now a bunch of movies about Star Trek? Why does everything in the world have to be Star Trek-centric?
Because everything Star Trek is better than everything else. That's why.
I wish you would go into outer space, Roland.
Oh, zing! I don't know if I can deal with that sort of razor-sharp wit, but I'll try to continue.
Why don't you lower your head?
I wish you would go into the bottom of the ocean and stay there instead.
All right, so Sacramento, unfortunately, has a Klingon court and a Romulan court, and I understand that they are an intersection. They do come together at some point.
You can live in the corner of Klingon and Romulan!
What do you want us to do about it in Southern California?
We need to start changing popular Southern California names to Star Trek theme names. It's
like
obvious.
What? Like what?
Like the 2 freeway.
The Glendale freeway?
The Glendale freeway, known as CA2, needs to be changed.
To what?
Star Trek 2. The Wrath of Khan!
That's just dumb.
Turn it to Khan, the Conway.
So Lisa would be doing traffic, and she would say, things are really slow on the Wrath of Khan this morning.
Things are really backed up on Khan. Khan's really backed up.
I don't think we need that,
Roland. Got an overturned pickup on Khan.
I think the 2 is fine.
Is that why you're driving, and you're stuck in traffic? Go, Khan!
That is kind of tempting.
Yeah, well, it'd be great. Or... How about Martin Luther Kirk Boulevard?
Okay, again, that doesn't make any sense because it's named after an actual real person who existed in the world, not
yes.
made up fantasy.
Or a person who's going to exist in the world, like James Tiberius Kirk, who will be born.
I think Martin Luther King probably deserves his own street at this point, Roland.
What did he do compared to what Kirk did?
Well,
he
we
did
don't
real
have time
things.
Right now.
Kirk
right.
saved the world and the universe several times. Martin Luther All King, right. to the best of my knowledge, just had a dream.
He
I have
never
a dream
went...
every night. What if I don't get a street?
All right. We're going to pass on that one. Do you have anything else?
Spock Polvida.
Okay, now I'm in.
Come
on.
Corner of Ventura and Spock Polvida. I'll be waiting for you. There's a hospital there. I won't take you there, but I'll be there. Ask Harmon. He knows.
I have to be honest. As much as I hate everything about this, Spock Polvida is pretty righteous. I almost don't recognize you without your little person sidekick, Adam Ray.
Oh, I feel a little empty inside and on the outs. I mean, yeah, Brad and I have just become great chums, and also especially after we went to Cabo together.
Yes.
And it wasn't a romantic getaway, even though we did get couples massages on the beach.
I heard about that.
But that's like, you know, if you're going to Cabo and you don't get a couples massage with a dwarf, I don't know why you went in the first place.
Adam Ray is here. He is, of course, a comedian and actor and the co-host, along with Brad Williams, of the excellent podcast About Last Night, which you can get on iTunes or through the Jay Moore Fake Mustache Studios Network. I have so many things I want to talk to you about. And of course, you're in the film The Heat that we want to talk about. But how did Brad lose a limbo contest? On the beach, because don't you automatically win if you're a little person?
You would think so. And when we first entered too, he was like, "You're gonna enter, right?" I was like, "No, man, you're gonna enter. I'm gonna videotape. That's how this is going down." The weight of his head is heavier than most would think.
Yeah,
he's also got that that booty that grounds him.
Right.
But, he went low, and I think he went too low was his problem.
Went too low, yeah.
And, the first, like, nine times he went through, he would just walk right under and still had the audacity to pump his fist in the air and taunt the crowd as if, like, but he ultimately lost, and people still gave him a standing O.
I just feel like a lot of people lost money on that because I would bet on a little person in a limbo contest, let's face it.
Oh, I bet my room that night, so I was sleeping on the beach. It was awful.
Adam is in town this weekend, by the way, appearing on stage at the Laugh Factory in Hollywood tomorrow night. Tickets available right now through laughfactory.com. And then you're doing two shows Saturday night at the Ha Ha Comedy Club.
That's
is in North Hollywood. Ha Ha Cafe, comedyclub.com to buy your tickets. So you've been doing stand-up. Viral videos.
Yeah.
You've been writing for television. We see you as a panelist with Chelsea. You do a lot of stuff. But I feel like you're a guy who, like so many other actors out there, you just need a break. And does it seem to you like the Heat opening up this weekend is going to change your life?
I sure hope so. I mean, my mom sure thinks so. She's my biggest fan. Still says that my best role was the Cowardly Lion in the fifth grade. like she even said
you
that.
You peaked young.
Yeah, I did. I did. Well, I was also a fat kid at that time, so I was. It worked out for the play because it was the first time that the lion went to Oz and asked for chocolate chip cookie dough ice cream instead of courage. She even on the red carpet, I mean, she just is like so proud. But she's like living vicariously through me, and she wants to. She's an overly supportive mother in the fact that where she always making sure I eat. I'm wearing enough coats even when it's 75 degrees out. It's just like you're gonna be cold. I'll get chilly later. We're on the red carpet. She's and everyone's coming through. And Sandra Bullock's just came through, and she got to meet her, and she's doing an interview, and she's like, "Why don't you go stand behind Sandra? Just go stand behind her, because then when Entertainment Tonight finishes with her, they'll see you. They'll be like, well, who's this gentleman? Is he in the
film?'"
And
you're like, "Mom, I know her. I don't have to photobomb her."
Exactly. She's just like, "Well, you could stand in, you could talk to me, or you could try to get on television and promote your movie." And I'm just like, "Oh God, I mean,
your manager,
right?
Your manager."
Oh, she
now.
Oh, of course, yeah.
How does it work now? The Heat, by the way, is the movie that we're talking about. It's directed by the great Paul
Hilarious.
Finn, who did
Bridesmaids, 30 Rock. I mean, he's directed everything funny on the planet.
I mean, this is super A-list because it's Sandra Bullock, obviously. It's Melissa McCarthy, who's incredible. It's got a great supporting cast: Michael Rapaport, Marlon Wayans, Tony Hale is in it, David Corddry,
Bill Burr, Jane Curtin,
Bill Burr. Yeah, I mean,
Tom Wilson.
to be, I mean, obviously, when they're casting a movie like that, one of these is not like the others. One of these names does not fit. Like,
that's
I
me.
Feel like,
I slipped in here somehow.
How do you get a role like this? Is it literally just an audition? You show up with 400 other guys?
Yeah, I mean, I showed them the tape of Brad at Cabo losing the limbo competition. They felt so bad for him that they gave his buddy a part. No, they, you know, you audition just for so much stuff after a while. And, you know, I graduated from SC, you know, with the acting degree, and you're trying to just build something out of nothing, and you're, you know, it's so tough when you get going because you have this, you know, theater degree, and you're going into auditions for CSI being like, hey, I was in a play called Vinegar Tom. They're like, cool, man, that means absolutely nothing right now.
Yeah.
And then after a while, you just keep pounding down on the door, and this woman, Allison Jones, who cast the film, and she's cast The Office and Curb Your Enthusiasm and Fresh Prince and all the big, you know, Will Ferrell, Apatow movies, and she just has been bringing me in for a while, and finally, you just, you get one that you feel like is, I remember walking out being like, man, I that felt awesome. This would be cool.
Right.
But you put it out of your head because you just don't think. You know that there's people with more stuff going on that could do it. And then, you know, and then I just got lucky.
But this isn't one of those deals where we go to this film this weekend and you're at a cash register in one scene. I mean, you've got
scene after scene.
Yeah,
I'm one of the bad guys.
With the ladies.
Yeah. I mean, I've got about four or five good scenes, and I play a douchey nightclub owner. So you get to see me in that avenue, and then, you know, with the guns and being the bad guy, but it's
so it was typecasting then, basically.
Oh, for sure, yeah. Douchey nightclub owner, yeah. Which is funny, I know, because I'm not a nightclub guy at all, even though my haircut says differently. I mean, that whole scene was nuts too, because they put us. It was like, you know, a couple thousand extras in this nightclub, and just a lot of fist pumping and a lot of. I just kind of channeled what I've seen over the years, and that the beard really helped. And then they dressed me up in this, you know, weird dragon shirt. I feel like if you have a lot of dragons on your shirt, then you can kind of get into character pretty easily. And then the chains and the bracelets.
You're channeling your Jersey Shore is what's
exactly.
going on.
Yeah. That's my best Pauly D.
So when you finally were done, were you so relieved to be able to cut the hair, shave off the beard, and kind of go back to being a regular person?
Yeah. I mean, even though, you know, I went on Craig Ferguson a couple weeks ago. My mom was like, you're going to grow the beard out, right, to make sure that people know that it's you in the film?
Because
you
want to...
I was like, Mom, not only is that 2 days away, and I know that I'm a hairy dude, but that's impossible what you're asking me to do right now. But, like, they're going to show a clip from the movie, say that I'm in it. I think they're going to get a pretty good idea. It's like, all right, well, what do I know? You know, like, you can just, you can try to go give them, you have to spell it out sometimes for people. I mean, the movie, it's just, I don't know, it's one of those movies, too, that's just got such a great story. It's like laugh for laugh, pretty consistent. But,
well, the Red Band trailer, it's shocking to me to see Sandra Bullock, America's sweetheart,
who my face was shoved in her breast, by the way, my first day of filming.
Oh, really?
Yeah, if that's not an initial, like, hey, welcome to Hollywood, baby. Like, it was just, you know, working at a theme park 2 years ago, having my face shoved in the cleavage of an Oscar winner.
Sweet.
Not a bad upgrade.
Yeah.
She seems to me like one of those people like Hugh Jackman who's just too good to be true. Where's the crack? There has to be something where she has to be like running a puppy mill in the basement or something.
Totally.
Because she just seems perfect.
Yeah. You're waiting for her just to find out that she's got some weird, you know, orphanage that she runs that is just like where she, you know, throws ice cream on the kids at night or something. I don't know why you would torture kids by throwing ice cream on them.
It doesn't actually sound that bad.
It actually sounds like a great way to, go to sleep. But she, she's just super sweet. I mean, you know, I think she's been doing it, successfully for a while, that she's got a great perspective on it. She treats everybody with respect. I mean, the first day I met her, she was just like, you know, hi, I'm Sandy. You're going to be great. Like, don't worry about anything. Like, just have fun. This is a super lax vibe, blah, blah, blah. And just couldn't have been nicer.
Melissa McCarthy, same deal?
Same deal. I mean, what did she say? She said, the first day she headbutted me in a scene, which we had to practice many times. And at one point, she's like, I'm just going to do it full on, 100% the first time. So I hope you're down with that. I was like, no. She's like, yeah, just I'm going to hit you in the face. I'll probably kick butt you in the balls, too. So just get ready for it. Which, yeah, sure, definitely. I'm on board
Is there much improv? Because it's one of those movies that it looks like there is.
Yeah, I mean, Paul just comes from that school of thought, but he, I mean, the script, this girl, Katie Dippold, wrote the script. She wrote for Mad TV and Parks and Rec, and the script was so funny that we didn't have to really stray away too far. But, you know, when you have Melissa and Marlon Wayans and Tom and Sam, just all these people who are great at it, he gave us several takes. Like at one point it was maybe 1:30 in the morning, and there's a scene where I'm hitting on Sandra in my VIP booth after I pull her off the dance floor. And Paul was just like, I'm just going to give you one here on your close up and just go for like, you know, 5 to 6 minutes. Wow. So I just basically got to just, you know, as this douchey nightclub owner, hit on Sandra. And so I was just coming up with all sorts of stuff, telling her how, like, you know, I own, you know, I was like, it's tough being me. And my character's name is LeSoir. I was like, it's tough. You know, girls come in here, they're looking at me. They're just like, man, this guy's got it going on. He's got great pants, killer hair, probably owns 2 laptops. You know, I think he knows Seal, you know, and can freestyle rap. And I'm just, and she's just going with it. It was just,
That's how you awesome. Get all the ladies right there. Exactly. The laptops and the seal.
The laptops, yeah.
Adam Ray is here. The film is called The Heat. It opens up everywhere on Friday. You can see Adam live on stage at the Laugh Factory in Hollywood tomorrow night and at the Ha Ha Comedy Club in North Hollywood on Saturday. All that information is probably up at AdamRayTV.com as well, I would imagine.
Yeah, totally.
And, of course, the podcast about last night with Brad Williams. More with our guest in a moment after this on K-Rock. You're listening to the world-famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ. Thanks to Jose Rivera from Panorama. Listening to the Kevin and Bean Show today, you just won tickets for Nine Inch Nails at Staples Center. Tickets go on sale tomorrow morning at 10. We got more for you later on today. And you are automatically eligible for the private helicopter ride to the show, suite at the Marriott, and the best seats in the house all week long here on K-Rock. Hey, Adam Ray.
Hey, buddy.
Helicopter Adam Ray Comedy.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah,
I know.
Cool.
It's a pretty sweet deal, right? Adam Ray Comedy is where you find the man on Twitter. AdamRayTV.com is the website. The podcast is about last night with our good friend Brad Williams, available on iTunes. You are on stage this weekend at the Laugh Factory in Hollywood tomorrow night, Ha Ha Comedy Club in North Hollywood on Saturday, and appearing in the movie The Heat this weekend with Sandra Bullock and Melissa McCarthy. You have too much going on, Adam.
Boy, I mean, you know, but it's, you know, you put in all the time and effort and all the hosting hours of the Fear Factor show at Universal Studios, hoping that it'll pay off, hoping all the projectile vomit that you accept from people from North Dakota who couldn't handle cottage cheese and pickle juice or whatever they drank.
I forgot you told us that the last time you were on about that early job of yours.
Oh, man.
Hey, you were on the Corolla podcast this week.
Yeah, it was incredible.
And I want to bring that up because Bobby Slayton, the comedian Bobby Slayton, who was here with us last hour, recently did Corolla as well. Both of you had the exact same experience, which is, why did I bother getting dressed and coming down to the podcast? Because I can't get a word in edgewise.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of it's you have to fight for your airtime. But Adam, I mean, he was pretty maybe just because we have the same name, he was pretty accepting of me firing some stuff in there. I think as soon as we started singing Billy Ocean, I can't remember how that came up. I think I try to insert Billy Ocean into most of my conversations just to kind of give the guy some.
Well, it's a comedy
pops.
Trigger word.
Exactly.
Speaking of music from the 80s and 90s,
oh, yeah.
Do we owe you an apology?
Yeah,
or
you owe me a giant apology.
Yeah,
should feel awful about what happened on my way over here. So music triggers emotions in you that sometimes you don't remember that those emotions are still there. But Sixpence None the Richer, Kiss Me, was playing. You guys played it earlier. And that song in my life was being played in the background when my girlfriend in the eighth grade broke up with me over the phone to start dating my best friend.
Oh.
And why that still resonates, I should probably go to therapy and figure out. But I'm just driving over, and as soon as this is Kiss Me Under the Sea. And in the morning twilight, it's over. I'm leaving you for your friend, even though it's eighth grade. You shouldn't freak out. It's not that big of a deal. And you're kind of fat anyway. See you later. Your best friend's got bigger triceps.
How old are you in eighth grade? Is that like 14, maybe? Something like that?
Yeah, 14 for sure. But still, I mean, I'm a super sensitive guy. And I just, you know, I was just, you know, raised by my mom and sis. And I think I just was but I just took it way too hard. It's like eighth grade. You freak out at that. You don't know that it's not only going to, you know, get better and there's more to life and there's other women out there.
Right. You do think this is the last person I will ever love, and it's the last person who will ever love me. So if this doesn't work, then I'm destined to be alone for the rest of my life.
I also was bummed about the fact that I'm not going to get dumped to a better song. maybe something from the Bare Naked Ladies or Phil Collins, Susu Sudi. Even that's more memorable.
Sure. So did she try? I mean, mean, there's not a lot of tact in a breakup when you're 14, but did she try? It's not your fault. It's not you.
Yeah,
did she feel bad about that she was dumping you? And what did that do to your relationship to your friend?
I mean, it made it super weird. I mean, yeah, there's no text or email, which I know that people is like, that's a popular choice to break up nowadays.
That eliminates you having to do it face-to-face or even have to hear the pain that you're inflicting on the person. You can just text it and forget it.
Yeah, I mean, and even I would have, taken like, hey, just buy me, a meal at the Olive Garden at that point, even I would have taken. But it was just she called and she was like, she's like, hey, and obviously her voice is not as deep as mine. It was a little bit, but she was like, it's just, I don't know. It's, things are just tough right now. She was giving me all these like giant answers for an eighth grader that were definitely not, shouldn't be said. She's like, it's just, there's too much going on right now. And it's
got a lot of stress in my life.
And I'm on the other like, yeah, no, it's cool. Yeah, no. And but why is it me or is it? She's like, well, it's kind of you. It's just that, and then Jess is actually, he's just, such a good dude, and his parents have more money, and they own a Papa Murphy's, and she piled it on.
My wife got broken up to at a roller skating ring once when she was 15.
During the skate?
During the skate,
They were holding hands, and he just kind of let go, and she hit the wall and was like, see you later.
And there are still some songs from that night that do the exact same thing. They just take her back to that primal pain that I don't think she'll ever forget.
Oh, yeah. Well, the roller skating soundtrack in general is just like that. I think they basically pulled most of the songs from like Now That's What I Call Music 22.
That's right.
Finally, it happened to me. And like, you're like, how am I supposed to skate to this? This is way too fast.
They say skating is coming back. They say bowling is coming back, too.
Did bowling ever go away?
I think it did.
I've had many birthday parties.
It's always
But I think guys like Chris Hardwick, though, are kind of trying to make it cool again, it seems like. He's the one who got bowling back on ESPN, for God's sakes. On ESPN2 now, his bowling league.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, bowling is, I don't know. I mean, I guess the only time I ever play it is if I'm drinking, so I can't imagine.
Right. I think there are a lot of things that some people that, there are people who would never do karaoke unless they get enough in them. And then, in which case, singing in public sounds like a great idea.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I don't understand people who don't karaoke, by the way. People who just say, I don't do it. I'm just like, you breathe, you sleep, you're a living human. How do you not, even if you're awful, that's, half the reason most people
I think it's terrifying, though. I mean, look, ultimately.
You're not into it, huh?
I'm not, but then I don't really go to places where there are people. But ultimately, I think
I just stay inside.
I'm a guy who works from home, Adam. Come on, it's tough to get out of the house.
Of course,
but I think ultimately, even though people think, oh my God, everyone will make fun of me or everybody, I will be embarrassed. The reality is that nobody cares whether you're good or bad at karaoke.
Shania Twain's Man, I Feel Like a Woman. And guess what? It's incredible. All right? And I'm not just saying that, but it's like, obviously you think I'm thinking that American Idol is going to, maybe at this little dive bar is going to show up, but there is always there's a couple drunk people that will chime in. Like I was singing a Bohemian Rhapsody rendition with a buddy of mine.
That's a bold choice there because you are a 90-minute
song.
6 minutes. Exactly. Right.
And there's a huge instrumental break that you have to come up with some sort of dance. And
you got an air guitar or something.
Oh, and it was, and this one guy just walks in front of us at one point with his middle finger up and then goes, "You guys need to stop." And I was like, all right, man, everybody's a critic.
All right, no karaoke this weekend on stage. You're just bringing the jokes, right?
Possibly. Yeah, I mean, I might sing some Rick Astley just to pump the crowd up.
Sure, why not? Yeah. Who can blame you? Yeah. Laugh Factory in Hollywood, it's going to be tomorrow night. LaughFactory.com to buy those tickets to see Adam Ray on stage. And then the Ha Ha Comedy Club in North Hollywood, that's going to be Saturday night. And, of course, please go see The Heat. It really does look like the funniest movie
of the year
so far.
I got a beard, and you can see me fist pump and shoot a gun and... and hit on Sandra Bullock.
Sure. Why wouldn't you want it? Sandra Bullock, Melissa McCarthy, and Adam Ray, who may, after this movie comes out, may be too big. This may be the last appearance.
Oh, God, never. No.
On the Kevin and Bean
Show.
But
I'll come back anytime.
I hope you will. Thanks a lot for coming in.
Thanks.
Mike Ness, who has only been singing for Social Distortion since 1978. That's all. He's going to be joining us next year on the Kevin and Bean Show in about 10 minutes. First, though, welcome to Ralph Garman's Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Don't let anybody tell you there's no job security in music.
Right?
Yeah,
Mike Ness, 1978 he started?
Yeah. He's doing fine.
That's quite a career right there. And that happens to most people in music. So
that's
by all
I
means,
yeah.
Drop out of school, pick up your guitar, your bongos, or your jew's harp, or your kazoo, whatever your instrument is, and just just start making music because that's where all the money is.
Let's leave religion out of it if you don't mind, but B.
It's a thing.
I agree. If you get in a band, you might as well forget about education or doing anything else because you are set for life.
It always works out.
Always. No.
Yes. Yes, it does.
No.
Random lady.
Obviously.
Obviously it works out. Brangelina.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like they're going to get married.
That makes sense.
Were they one of those couples who said they wouldn't get married till everyone could get married?
Yep, social justice. They were waiting for social justice. And I guess now that you can get married here in California, that they decided to put the plans forward. They had been talking about it for some time for the kids and everything. They wanted to make it official.
However, they have to actually come to California, though, which they don't seem to do very often.
That's true. However, there are reports saying that Angelina Jolie is starting to cross names off of Brad's guest list.
Like...
Well, where does she want a very classy, civilized affair?
Mm-hmm.
And she worries that a certain group of his friends would be hitting the bar early and often and make it a little bit more of a bash than she would care for.
Oh.
Is this the Clooney-Damon contingent?
Well, Clooney made the short list, but got a warning that he needs to keep things under control, apparently. So he is invited with an asterisk.
I don't believe this for a second.
However, not invited, according to the London Sun newspaper. Jonah Hill, Quentin Tarantino, and Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Those are the troublemakers.
I do buy that.
I think
especially Quentin Tarantino.
I think this is a topic we should have. We should open up the phone sometime and say, what was the deal you had to make? Were there people you refused to let your intended invite to the wedding?
Yeah.
Will Glenda be there?
Glenda was one. My wife wanted to invite Glenda, and I said, no, Glenda is not welcome to our wedding.
We are having a 4th of July party at my house.
You're having a party where people will come to your house?
Believe me, I did everything I could to fight it. It's the first party in years here, and I spend most of every day trying to whittle more people off of that list, and it is a constant struggle at my house about the people who are coming to this party, and that's just for a party, okay?
I bet.
Is a wedding. That just amps it by a thousandfold.
And you said you didn't think that was the case, but I believe it happens more often than not where there's a lot of arguing going on between, no, you can't have that person.
Oh, I'm sure.
All right.
I think it's family, friends. I think there's all kinds of reasons why people don't want other people to come to weddings.
And by the way, that's the type of thing that is ripe for an actual fight because, look, it's both of yours wedding, and if the guy wants somebody to be there and the girl does it or vice versa, how do you compromise on something like that? Somebody has to win.
You need two weddings. You need the party wedding and then the reasonable, rational wedding.
There you go.
That's what I'm guessing. Have two events. It's got to be, right?
Tomorrow morning, we'll take that topic on.
While we're talking about weddings, of course, Kat Von D and Deadmau5, they were planning their underwater-themed wedding.
That's right.
Which was going to be awesome. Everybody had to come in scuba gear to attend their wedding or something. I'm not quite sure how it worked out. But apparently that's not going to happen.
Are they not
meaning the
getting
weddings?
Married?
They split
What's
up.
What's going on?
They split up again.
What happens to her?
They split up.
Why can't Kat keep a man?
Well, according to her Twitter feed, cheating on someone is the worst thing you can do in a relationship.
Oh, that poor girl. Again with that?
And she said, I'm sorry to announce that this relationship is indeed over.
What happened?
So, while the cat's away, the Deadmau5 will play. You know what I'm saying? Thank you. Good night, everybody. Tip your waiters and waitresses. They work real hard for you. Thank you so much. Good night, everybody.
Look, I don't know anything about anything. But
yes.
Kat
Can I have
Von
that
D-
tape to use later? Please. Thank you.
But Kat Von D seems like an awesome lady.
Yes.
And this makes me sad that she's having so much trouble finding love.
Yes. I agree to everything you just said. She's a wonderful woman with horrible taste in men.
Apparently so.
Yeah.
It's her only flaw, but it's a flaw in the tragic Greek sense.
Lisa, if lots of people cheat on you, is it you?
You're picking the wrong people.
Yeah.
Or you're not getting things done where it matters. You know what
I'm
saying?
Well, there could be that, too.
Or we need to buy you a box of edible anuses and just...
But sometimes wouldn't they break up with you first, if that were the case?
Well, maybe they like you well enough. They like you well enough.
Hmm.
You're okay. I like you. It's a good time, but, you know... Sometimes you got to get your Nazi on, you know, in the case of Jesse James, for example. Sometimes you just got to get your Nazi on.
Why not, Bean? This is America!
Right, exactly, Doto. That's my point. Don't forget me, Friday night, 10 p.m. Come out and see me and Kevin Smith doing our Hollywood Babylon show at the Improv in Hollywood on Melrose. 10 p.m. on Friday night. We'd love to have you come out. You can go to improv.com to get your tickets. Come out and see
us. The hour's coming.
I'm going to get really drunk. I'm going to make really inappropriate jokes.
You are not coming to my wedding.
And I'm not coming to Lisa's wedding. That's for sure. And another mention where you can go to see people do things. Weird Al fans can meet Al this Saturday at 11 a.m. at Children's Book World on Pico in Los Angeles. He will be signing copies of his new book, My New Teacher and Me. He is the best-selling author of his other children's book, When I Grow Up.
Hmm, I didn't know that.
And by the way, these books are all by Al Yankovic, not by Weird Al. These are by Al Yankovic as the author of these books. That's how you know he's serious about his career.
Because that's because you don't know what's going on in his pants.
That's right. That's why he writes the books. That's why he writes kids' books, because there's something weird going on.
That tape seemed out of context. What happened?
You said it. About your buddy Al.
Al Yankovic blew his brains out in the late 80s after people stopped buying his records.
That's not true at all. Al is fine.
And this imposter keeps going around writing children's books to ensnare young children in the back of his van.
It's all
very, very tawdry story. Today's celebrity birthdays: Chandler Riggs, Carl from The Walking Dead, is 14 years old. Ed Westwick from Gossip Girl turns 26. Khloe Kardashian of the Kardashian clan, 29 years old. Tobey Maguire's 38, and since we're talking about Chewbacca, J.J. Abrams, the man now in charge of the Star Wars world, writer and director, is 47 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Look who's on the phone. It's our old friend Mike Ness from Social D. What? Hey, Mike. How are you, buddy?
What's up, dude?
How are you?
I'm good.
Last time we were supposed to have you on was about a week ago, and we heard from your people that you were not only sick, but dangerously so, to the point where you even had to cancel a show, which I know you almost never do. What was going on?
I just got some crud in my, chest and head, but yeah, I mean, I was definitely down for 3 days. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was sick and angry.
That's no fun. And you know what? You have the kind of job where you impact not just hundreds of people, but thousands of people over the course of a week. Like, if you can't work, lots of people are inconvenienced. So I imagine that just adds to the stress and the pressure of, oh, my God, I have to figure out a way to play through this, right?
Yeah. I mean, I hate to cancel shows because, we get a lot of people, who travel or, they live in Ohio, but they want to see us in Pittsburgh or something, so they'll take a flight or a drive, get a hotel room.
yeah, it's a shame.
Well, I hate it.
Of course. Well, I'm glad you're feeling better. I know Social Distortion has a big summer plan, including a date coming up shortly at the Hootenanny Festival. The 19th annual Hootenanny is happening at Oak Canyon Ranch in Silverado Canyon, and that's going to be coming up, as I say, on July the 6th. You're playing with Face to Face, the Old 97s, Nashville Pussy, Murder by Death. Pretty cool lineup. You've played it before, right, Mike?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we've done it several times.
This is old home week for you.
Yeah, Orange County. It's close. It's local. It'll be fun.
Well, we have been giving away tickets all this week, and if you want to see Social Distortion and all those other great bands, you can call us right now at 1-800-520-1067, callers 10 and 11. You win your tickets. While you're listening to Mike Ness, you can also call and win some tickets. Let's also talk about what's coming up on the 20th. I was not aware that you were so involved with the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation. Why is that a charity that you work so hard for, Mike?
Well, because it's I never knew anything about it. I got invited to come to one of those events, and it's just one of those things where you can just, I was ignorant to it, and then once I was there and learned about it, and, I couldn't help but, want to be a part of the solution. And it's close, it's local, so it's one of those things where it's just like, all I have to do is show up, but by me showing up really just helps a lot. And so, I don't know. It's just,
right. But you didn't get involved in it through personal experience with somebody close to you who has the disease?
No, I didn't. But, I heard some of the people who had been affected by it, who were sick with it, speak, and it was very compelling.
Right.
As a matter of fact, one of them, you know, was just so inspiring. And then, you know, 2 years later, I just happened to be reading a paper one day, and I recognized the name, and she had passed. And it was just like, what a bum out, you know? It's like, because, I mean, her talk was so inspiring, and it just made you really feel like you were at the right place at the right time doing the right thing.
Wow. You know? Well, it's terrible that the person died, but it's a beautiful story that that speech was able to influence you and I'm sure a lot of other people who didn't know much about the disease. For folks who aren't familiar with cystic fibrosis, it's a lung disease. Basically, it's a genetic disorder where your body produces a mucus that clogs up your lungs. So it makes it very difficult to catch your breath. So you'll see people like that girl on the Bates Motel show, Lisa, right? You see people who carry around that little tank of the oxygen that goes up in their nose and stuff, so to help them breathe.
Right.
And it's, I mean, it affects tens of thousands of people. It's a, you know, it's not common, but it's certainly not uncommon either. So this event is going to be July 20th at the Hyatt Regency Huntington Beach Resort and Spa in Huntington Beach. Tickets are on sale now. It's the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation's Pipeline to a Cure Gala. And I think it's cool some of the people that are going to be there with you and your wife, Mike, because Laird Hamilton is going to be there. Dave Kalama is going to be there. I guess they're going to be talking about the effectiveness of surfing. Apparently there's something that has to do with ocean spray that helps people clear their lungs too, right?
Yes, it's the salt water that you know, helps kind of lubricate the lungs and break away infection and stuff like that. So, you know, I mean, you know, what a great way to be in therapy, you know, if you can get out in the water and surf and have fun while you're doing it. You know, most of the time, you know, therapies are a bum out, but if you, you know,
That one sounds pretty fun.
Surf every day.
Exactly. Again, the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation's Pipeline to a Cure Gala is happening on Saturday, July 20th at the Hyatt Regency Huntington Beach. You can sponsor a table if you want. There are other ways that you can contribute. It's a 6 o'clock event with cocktails, silent auction, dinner, live auction program beginning at 7:30, and you and your wife Christine are going to be there and going to be honored. So that's going to be a great night. It's going to raise a lot of money. And then, of course, before that, the Hootenanny Festival, July 6th. What else is going on with Social D before we let you go, Mike? You're out there playing all summer long.
Well, no. Actually, this was supposed to be the year of taking some time off. As you can see, it's already July almost, and I haven't taken any time off yet. But I plan on taking the rest of the year off to finish the book and write songs. I want to get a record out in a timely manner and shock everybody.
Because you've been known to drag your feet from time to time, it's easy for that time to go by between albums.
Yeah, back in the day, you know, we used to be able to do it every couple of years, and I feel like, you know, we did.
Yeah, usually you're like 6 or 7 years between records now.
Yeah, but that wasn't because it took so long to write. It was just you get caught up in life, you know. And It's easy to procrastinate on writing, but I got a great foundation for a new record right now. So I'm, you know, we're really excited to get in the studio and write.
Well, that's exciting. As you know, your band is one of the building blocks of K-Rock, so we're always excited whenever there's a new Social D record. I'm glad to hear you're feeling better. Congratulations on the Hootenanny coming up.
This
cystic fibrosis event sounds like fun. It's always good to catch up with you, sir. Thanks for the time.
You too. Have a good day.
Fire Bureau! Fire Bureau!
Right?
Fire Bureau!
Right?
Fire Bureau!
Who's with me?
Fire!
You don't have to do anything, Muggs. It's just that you exist is enough. Hey, welcome into the Kevin and Bean Show here for a Thursday morning, 9:39. Ralph Garman joins us for our final look at the show biz beat.
Well,
what's happening?
It is on. It is on. It is.
Oh, is there a problem?
Oh, just the battle of the century. That's all. I told you just a mere hour ago, not even, that Kat Von D has gone public with with the breakup of herself and Deadmau5. And look, they were talking planning their wedding. Deadmau5 proposed, of course, via Twitter last December.
It's the only way it counts, Ralph.
With a skull and black diamond ring. They were planning their underwater-themed wedding this year.
That shows that they took it seriously.
But it's over. It's all over.
You suggested last hour that there might have been some, or at least Kat Von D had tweeted something about maybe there being some infidelity in the relationship, and that's why they broke up?
Here's what she tweeted. Look, he proposed via Twitter. She's announcing to the world what's going on via Twitter. Nothing happens unless it happens on Twitter anymore. Cheating on your loved one is the most hurtful thing one can do. I hate to have to admit it, but this relationship is indeed over. Onwards and upwards, she added.
Okay. So what's new this hour that makes you think it's on?
Well, Kat Von D went to Twitter to air her version of the story. So Deadmau5 naturally went to Facebook.
Oh, no,
he
did.
See your Twitter and raise you a Facebook.
Uh-oh.
Here's what he posted. All I am saying on the matter, colon. He didn't say colon. That's the punctuation, colon. Kat and I split in November, and I moved back to home to Toronto. During this time, while we were broken up, I did have relations with another woman. Following that, Kat and I reconciled, and I acknowledged being intimate with another person while we were estranged. We did move past those issues, and I proposed to Kat in mid-December. At the end of June, it was clear that the relationship was not working, and we mutually ended the relationship. I was not at any point unfaithful to Kat during our time together.
Oh.
I don't wish to go tit for tat. I bet you did. I bet you went both tit and tat.
Why don't we leave her body out of this, please, Mouse?
While these kinds of pronouncements, and I don't expect to comment further, but I do believe that those who have expressed concern deserve a more complete understanding of what transpired. So, in other words, he was saying they were on a break.
We were on a break.
He's pulling the "we were on a break" card.
We were on a break.
He's Ross.
Now, I know that emotionally, "we were on a break" sex is legitimate, but it's also it makes very complicated feelings in the relationship because, hey, I thought we had a thing. You couldn't have like kept it in your pants for 2 weeks while we were apart. I do understand where she's coming from, but it's kind of hard to accept his commitment.
But we were on a break.
We were on a break.
He was on a break.
Yes.
We were on a break.
And you can't count against them if they were on a break. Right?
Right.
But you do see how that does
Team
cause
Deadmau5.
Causes a ripple in the relationship.
Deadmau5 1, Kat 0.
I'm going to say, here's my whole thing. Technically, you are correct.
That's what I'm saying.
Understand why it's hard for her to reconcile. Hey, wait a minute. We were engaged, and then we broke up for a month, and you were about banging other chicks. Couldn't you have at least let the body get cold before you moved on? I understand where she's coming from.
You don't get it, man.
Okay.
Here's his statement to the press.
We were on a break!
Yeah, we were on a break. Doesn't matter. You don't get it. Forbes has released their annual list of the 100 most powerful celebrities. This, of course, means the celebrities who can clean and jerk the most weight.
I don't think so.
No? Bench press?
No.
No?
No.
No, this is massive fame, money, and influence are the criteria for someone who is powerful on the list.
Farrah Abramson?
She is not on the list, thank God, this year. Ellen DeGeneres is 10th. Justin Bieber? You think he still wields tremendous power as a celebrity?
I hate that he's on this list.
Yeah, I don't get it.
What happened?
Roger Federer.
Tennis star.
I'm surprised.
It's Chad Mom.
No, Chad Mom is not on the list. Of all the sports.
Yeah, I don't know.
Of the Tom Brady's of the world.
LeBron is what I would think.
LeBron James's of the world. Roger Federer. He's the only athlete on the list.
Barack Obama.
No, Barack Obama. Not on the list. Not a celebrity.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Stop guessing. I'm reading the list. John Bon Jovi.
Victor Fuentes.
No. John Bon Jovi was 7th.
Bill Haley and his Comets.
No. They didn't make the list this year?
No one knows.
Casey and the Sunshine Band.
You got him.
Kenneth Babyface Edmonds.
Come on, these are good guesses. What's happening?
Ralph is now crying.
Betty White.
Bill Haley wasn't on the list in 1955. Tadoff.
Ryan Gosling.
No. Tadoff Swindler.
Who's Krusty the Clown?
My name is Iqbal Van Lutzak.
Who else on the list, Ralph?
Hi, it's Kat.
No, Taylor Swift is 6th. Madonna was 5th. Beyonce was 4th. Steven Spielberg was 3rd.
I'm Yul Gibbon.
No?
Where?
Yul Gibbon's not on the list this year.
Demi Lovato.
Steven Spielberg was 3rd. Lady Gaga was 2nd. And at number 1,
yes.
No guesses? No, not Meatloaf. Oprah Winfrey. Oprah Winfrey wields the most power in the world of celebritydom.
Wow, we were just wrong on a lot of those guesses. I apologize.
Wow. There's going to be a Mean Girls sequel.
Really?
Yeah. Why so soon, you're asking, I know. Actually, this isn't going to be about the original Mean Girls, which, by the way, I had no idea. Lindsay Lohan, of course. Rachel McAdams.
Mm-hmm.
Lacey Chabert.
Right.
From Party of Five, and briefly from Family Guy. And Amanda Seyfried. Did you know that?
Wow.
She was the other Mean Girl?
No.
This must have been a little bit of a launch pad for some of those girls. And wasn't this one written in co-star Tina Fey?
She wrote the screenplay, right, but it was based on a book.
Okay.
By Rosalind Weisman that she has written another novel, and that's going to be basis for the next film. It's called Queen Bee Moms and Kingpin Dads. And it's about mean girls who have grown up and become mean moms, basically, interfering in their kids' lives and making life a living hell for their teachers and coaches and other people that have to interact with their kids. So
that sounds good.
Yeah, it does sound like there's a lot of potential. More movie news. The next Star Wars installment, of course, is in pre-production. They're getting ready to film that. What do you do, however, when your old stars are now unrecognizable due to age and perhaps a few extra brownies going through the soup plantation buffet line? Well, Carrie Fisher and Mark Hamill are reportedly getting the help of nutritionists and trainers that have been hired by the producers to get them back into the best shape possible before they go in front of the cameras. Producers apparently are people are concerned that audiences perhaps won't recognize them as their former characters, and they're sparing no expense to try to get them in tip-top shape so they're ready to reprise their roles as Luke and Leia.
So, in other words, a long time ago in a galaxy far away, you weren't allowed to get fat,
no,
apparently.
You've still got to look good at
60.
Look, you can get a robot hand, for God's sakes. In about 20 minutes, they can put a brand new hand on you.
Sure.
All you can do is keep you good looking.
She looks like she's gained weight.
That's what they said about Princess Leia, but they won't say that anymore. Oh, Bill Haley in the comments. Don't forget, Friday night at 10 p.m., Kevin Smith and I are doing our Hollywood Babylon show at the Improv in Hollywood on Melrose. Come out and see a stoned guy and a drunk guy scream and yell about people who have better careers than they do for about 2 hours. We have a good time.
Yep.
You can go to improv.com for your tickets. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. J.J. Abrams talking about Star Wars. He's 47 years old today. Tobey Maguire turns 38. Khloe Kardashian, 29 years old today. No, they had to keep... They had to keep Chloe away from Kim's newborn because they're afraid she might eat it.
Oh, that's tense. Yeah. Tragic.
They put her in a separate cage.
Will she be coming back for Star Wars? I haven't heard much talk about
it. I believe Chloe will be reprising her role as Chewbacca.
Okay, yeah. Good.
Just let her win. Drake Bell's 27. Ed Westwick from Gossip Girl is 26 years old today. Chandler Riggs, he's the actor who plays Carl in The Walking Dead. He turns 14 years old today. And singer Lee Nash from Sixpence None the Richer. Guess me. Today, and I still want to do bad things to that voice. I don't know what she looks like, but that voice is sexy. I'm Ralph
Garman.
She's
super Christian, too, you know. Does that make it even hotter?
Is that why she's saying just kiss me?
Yeah, I think that's why it didn't go.
Instead of F me?
Exactly.
Underneath the moonlit skies? She's 37 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, yet another all-new Kevin and Bean show. I'm as shocked as you are. They keep inviting us back. But your old friend Scott Mosier is going to be joining us tomorrow, Ralph.
Love Mosh.
Of course, people know him from the Kevin Smith empire, but he is a producer of a new documentary called A Band Called Death, which is a fascinating story about one of America's first punk rock bands who happened to also be African-American. And now they're finally getting their due all these years later. People had kind of forgotten about him, but thanks to this documentary and some resurfaced music, I think people they know about Death now. And you know I love them, of course, because
sure.
They're Death. How can I not?
The perfect band for you.
Comedian Michael McDonald in studio with us tomorrow, too. He also has comedy coming up this weekend, and he's in that film, The Heat, we were talking about earlier. Ralph will review that and other films in the movie beat. We you had a great idea earlier, Ralph, to talk to people who came to blows over who gets invited to the wedding.
Yeah, it's hard. Biggest day of both of your lives, and you both have people you want to invite. And let's face it, there's a lot of people on both sides that you just don't like. So how do you draw that line?
Yes, it's true. And then you've got the drunk uncle.
Right.
And
he ruins every holiday. You're not inviting him.
But he's my uncle.
And my mother will kill me if I don't invite him.
We're on a break.
Exactly. So all of that is going to be tomorrow, plus your final chance to win Lone Ranger tickets. And we'll do the grand prize drawing, send someone for the night of a lifetime at Nine Inch Nails at Staples Center. That's tomorrow. Stick around. Cat Corbett's next here on the world famous K-Rock.
We were on.